Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Welcome to another Life Prophetic Talk Show. It's Wednesday night. We're going to be ministering to everyone. And a lot of talking tonight. We're going to go from caller to caller. So get ready for that. All right. So let's get ready. All right, you can call in 319-527-6027 if you don't know the number. There you go. And all you got to do is give me your first name and what state you're from, like Texas or New Mexico or wherever you're from. And then I will mute you, pray and prophesy over you, and then go to the next caller. And that way you go from caller to caller to caller. We can minister to a lot of people on Wednesday nights. The way nobody gets left out. And so get ready to jump in there and be a part tonight. We're going to be sharing some things here in just a little bit, so get ready for that. Ministry information. Hang with us a minute. All right, and if you want to give me any special information, like an emergency prayer request, you can text that to me at 214-505-8719. All right? All right, cool. Okay. All right, so let's see what's going on tonight, what the Lord wants to talk about, what I believe he wants to talk about. So check it out. I think I have the video on quite yet. Let's go for that. Really cool. All right, good to be here tonight. And I'm going to be praying for you here just a little bit. So get ready for that. I'm still working on a couple of things. Give me a second. Here we go. Think about live stuff, right? You never know what you're going to have to do to make it work. But we love live. Live is the best. We've been doing live for like a long time, and we love it. We're so thankful for it, that God has given us the ability to do it. And so there you go. All right, everything's live, spontaneous information. And hope you're going to love it. If you love spontaneous, kind of like watching a football game, you know. It's all just kind of spontaneous. Checking everything out and make sure everything's good. Okay, welcome tonight to the place. And let's get some graphics going on here. All right, let's go here and do this thing. All right, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's see what's up tonight in the Word. We're going to be prophesying ministry with you personally here in just a little bit, so thank you for calling in. and giving us the opportunity to do that. The only thing I saw in the scripture today that I thought was kind of cool as I was listening to the scripture, I go to Planet Fitness, you know, to work out a little bit every day, just about every day, not every day. And I was just listening to the word, and I heard this thing, 1 Thessalonians, Philippians, not 1 Thessalonians, Philippians. I love Paul's spirit. Paul was like a, he wasn't like a commander. He was kind of like a very strong, but a very gentle and, you know, kind person, I think, in many ways. I really don't know, but I've known Paul that well, getting a hold of who he is. Of course, he's been dead a long time, right? But listen to this. I thought this was really cool, how he's, you know, we were talking to Angela Joy last night and praying for her, and she brought up some person that she was having a little issue with that was seemed a little bit, you know, trying to be somebody maybe that she wasn't or something, and Angela Joy was confronting that. And so I went to the part in the 2 Corinthians 11 where it talks about Paul. Paul talks about the super apostle, you know, where people trying to be something that they're not, and trying to degrade his authority, and really just, you know, and he mentioned that it's like Eve being beguiled by the serpent. That's what he compared it to. I hadn't read that in a long time. It's pretty interesting how he brought that forth. But, so you see Paul being really tough, really straightforward, you know, about things, but and yet you turn right around, and in Philippians, just not too much after that, Philippians 1:8 says, therefore, though I have all boldness, Paul says, though I have all boldness in Christ to command you that which is appropriate. In other words, I have the authority to come in and say, do this and do that, you know, thus saith the Lord through Paul, right? But Paul didn't do that. He says, the next verse says, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beg, being such a one as Paul, the age, but also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So, you know, so it's really, really amazing how you see Paul saying, I could charge you and tell you what to do, and you should do it because I'm your spiritual father, but he doesn't do that. He says, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beg you. So I thought that was really, really cool when I saw that today. You get into the word and you catch all these little things. Always write them down so I don't forget about them because I will forget them. And so I love to, you know, just kind of – I get those little nuggets from the word. I want to share them with you so we can get to know Paul the Apostle a little bit better and see what being a man of God is really like, a woman of God, a servant of God, sometimes very strong and yet in many ways very humble and, you know, saying, I could command you. He's very bold to say that. You know, I could come and command you what to do, you know, do this, do that. But, no, I'd rather – for love's sake, I'd rather beg. That's just like, I don't know, if that hits y'all like it did me, it just hit me in such a powerful way, such a powerful way. And so we try to help. One of the things I think God wants me to do personally is try to help people understand men of God and what they're supposed to be like. And, you know, we all come short. I've come short, you know, a lot. But you know, God is good. And he keeps training me and keeps showing me and keeps, you know, delivering me from stuff and helping me out and bringing me through things. And so I'm thankful for that. So we try to reveal what, you know, from the Word of God and from personal experience. I share my weaknesses, my strengths, you know, I try to be honest and open about everything the best I can without shaming other people. You know, I could shame myself, right? But we don't have to shame others. And so, you know, I try my best to do that because I think God wants to put an image out there of the ministry as something different maybe than what we seem to perceive. I don't know too many men of God that were bad people. They all have a little bit of thing. They start growing and becoming big and, you know, miracles start happening. And, you know, and some of them stay humble and some of them don't. Some of them go through a time of pride and some of them come out of it. Some of them don't, you know, and it runs their ministry. So, you know, I think we can kind of see all that and go, God, you know, have mercy on me. Let me be a true servant of God that sees your way, your will, your purposes, and go from there, you know. Yeah. All right. So here's the thing that the Lord spoke to me today. I saw this, but it's kind of talking about the prophet and what the prophet does, what prophets do, and kind of explain them a little bit in kind of a cool way. It's the prophetic or the prophet is not about knowing what you're doing, you know, like some sin or some, you know, thing you're doing wrong. It's not about, the prophet is not about knowing that so much as it is, you know, God getting you, knowing where God wants you to go. So it's not about knowing what sin you're in or what thing you're messing up, you know, but it's more focused. The prophet is about the future. The prophet is about getting you to reach forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, to move forward with your life, not get caught up into what you're doing, what you're not doing. Because if you keep seeking Jesus and you're in the Word, and the Holy Spirit's going to fulfill the law in you, you don't have to try to fulfill the law. As you walk in the Spirit and stay in the Word, that you're going to fulfill the law. You don't have to try to fulfill it. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all fulfillment, and that's what happens. And people don't realize that, and that happens with me. You know, I've learned that personally. That's the way He does it. And so, therefore, you're not obligated, you know, to serve the law. You're serving Jesus, who's the lawgiver, and because He made it, when we look to Him, we see and walk in what He is, and He is the fulfillment of the law. Right? So, yeah, so we're not under the law, but as we walk in the Spirit, we fulfill it just kind of like almost automatically. So the prophet is not to, we're not going to tell people what's going on with them always as much as where God wants you to go so that you can change your direction if you need to change it. Right? So we don't get caught up into trying to straighten everybody out. Yes, we need to preach good, healthy doctrine and talk about doctrinal things. Doctrinal things are things that can get you distracted, going the wrong direction, looking for the wrong thing, not seeing the right things, looking for the wrong things. You know, like we talk a lot about the pre-trib situation, pre-trib rapture, and how it diverts people from, you know, moving into the greatest realm of what God wants to do than you've ever seen, and that is the end time and our place in it. And so the prophet is not about straightening you out, you know, so much. Yes, we preach the word. Yes, we minister the word. But when it comes to personal ministry, it is more, especially public, in the public realm, like we do here on PGN, or in churches and ministries. I've done, you know, a bit of that. And so it's, you know, I've when I first started doing churches in East Texas, we went from pastor to pastor to pastor to pastor. A friend of mine set it up, and we went in, and I would go in and, you know, these pastors, I don't care what kind of pastor they were, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Spirit-filled. We went in and we talked to all of them individually. And he set it all up, and so he did all the work, and I went with him. And so the purpose of it was to get with the pastor, and because we're coming into their city, right? And we come into their city, we would, you know, I would sit down with them, introduce myself, and I would ask if I could pray for them, and then I would prophesy over them and get words of knowledge or whatever, and they could see how the prophet works, you know, how the prophetic works. And some of the problems that we had with some of the churches was the image of the prophet that they had was not good, because they said, oh, well, we don't want you in here. We don't have prophets in here anymore, because last time we had prophets in here, I let them have my pulpit, and they started calling people out and exposing sin. You know, like every person was in some kind of sin or something. And it's like, you know, I just kind of went, what? You know, I mean, I could see doing that privately if God shows you something, but to do it publicly without any type of, you know, and so that was their badge, those prophets. It was their badge. And I don't even know who these guys were, who these people were, but it certainly ruined that particular pastor. And my friend would tell you that what I'm telling you is exactly the truth. That's what he said. And my friend, what I remember that my friend told the pastor, he said, well, Randy doesn't do it like that. Randy doesn't do it like that. And so, but he just wouldn't let us in there. He totally was ruined on prophets, and that's the reason he said, because they call out, start calling sin out in front of everybody. I'm going like, you know, so my friend told me, Randy doesn't do that. That's not his style of ministry. he doesn't think the prophet does that in a public session like that, privately maybe, and we did do that privately with the pastor. He took me to one pastor. I don't know why I'm telling these stories tonight. It's for somebody. So, you know, we went into some pastor, spirit-filled church, and, you know, I never met these guys before, right? So I'm going in for the first time, and he sets it up, and, you know, they wanted to see us, so I thought that was very interesting. Sat in their office, and, you know, I do the same thing most every time, and that was, let me pray for you, and I start praying for them. And so when I start prophesying over this one pastor, and my friend will tell you this is exactly what happened, that I started giving him some kind of word about how that he had done some things wrong with money. And, you know, we're in a private session, right? Done some things, not that he had done the things wrong with money, but there were some things going on with money that had been, funds that had been, I don't remember what the details was, but it was not good. I didn't know it was good. To me, it didn't sound that bad. But my friend who set up those meetings, you know, I noticed the atmosphere got really intense, right? It got really intense. But I didn't know why. You know, you'd think I would know everything about what the Word of the Lord was, but I didn't. I just gave the information, and it was about some kind of financial impropriety, something like that. It was not a great word, but it was done in such a fashion that I never really knew exactly that it was him, you know, that was doing this. And so we're walking out, right? My friend who knew exactly what that word was and knew and could tell by the look on my face I didn't know. He said, "Randy, oh my goodness, you're not gonna believe this." He says, "I know personally some things that happened, and I know personally it's one of his kinfolk that this happened to," and he said he gave me details, and it was about quite a bit of money. And you know, I was like going, he said, "You didn't have a clue." He knew that I didn't know this guy. And, you know, it was just so amazing. It's amazing to watch God do some of that stuff, man. And, you know, the thing is that I'm like, you know, thank God, Mr. Innocent. I mean, because I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. And that pastor might have thought, you know, that my friend told me about it. You know, I don't know. I don't know what he thought because I didn't ask him. But that it didn't, you know, my friend will tell you, he didn't tell me anything. And so, you know, we went from pastor to pastor to pastor, and I spent a lot of time ministering to pastors in the East Texas area, just going and meeting them privately. And then, you know, so it was just something we were doing because one of my friends recommended that if I go into the city to do it with the pastors, like that, like what we were doing, so that's what we did. And thank God, it was pretty kind of amazing. But so, you know, the prophet does a lot of different things. You never know what God's going to say. You never know what God's going to do. And most of the time, you know, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. Unless I see something in the Spirit, and then I may not know about exactly what it's for, but I just see it, and I give the information that I get. So the reason we like to talk about this, friend, is because we want people to realize that, you know, you don't always have to know everything that you're doing to flow with God. People think you have to know it all. You have to know. You know, you didn't know what you were saying to that guy. No, I didn't. I honest to God didn't. I did not know a thing about anything. And just innocent as the Lamb of God is innocent. I didn't have a clue. And like I said, we walked out of there. My friend went ballistic. He said, "Oh my God, you're not going to believe this, Randy, but that guy," and boy, it was not good. And it all came out in that word. And yet, honestly, I never had a clue. Yeah. So, and then sometimes, you know, sometimes I will know. Once in a while, I will know stuff. But it's not like all the time. So the reason I'm explaining all this stuff to you is so that you can understand that, you know, you can understand how these things work and how God does it so that you can think, well, maybe I can flow in that. And I tell people, yes, you can. You can. You can flow in it. And it's not. It took me years to get over condemnation because I would minister to people, you know, bunches of people, in one night, like I do here, like I'm doing tonight. I would go to meetings and minister to, you know, 50, 60, 75 people, whatever, you know, in one night, and be there for hours. You know, literally. It was one of the problems we had with that because people sit there literally for 3 or 4 hours and think, "Man, I can't do this long. Why did you wait? Pick me last?" I had no strategy to it. I just
called out people and, you know, prayed for them. That was it. And it'd go on for hours. And people sitting in those pews for hours. Bless their heart. I mean, I don't know how they did it. But so this went on and on and on and on and on. And so I began to learn, you know, different ways that the prophet works and ministry works. And you learn how to just, you know, not condemn yourself, because I would get a lot of condemnation after meeting. You know, oh, you should have said this. You shouldn't have said that. Why did you do it like that? And even though I didn't even know who I was praying for and why I shouldn't have done it like that or should have done it differently, because I didn't really know, you know, what I was saying or what was going on. But condemnation began to really hit me. And condemnation will try to stop you from doing God's will. Condemnation, friend, will try to tell you you're not doing it good enough. Right? You're not doing it right. It's like some nagging person, a boss or some, you know, somebody who works, who manages you maybe where you work, and just always, always telling you how short you come. And that's condemnation. Condemnation does that. And it does it to people all the time. And you know what it is? It's the greatest strategy that the enemy uses to take people down, to stop them from flowing with God, to stop them from stepping out and trusting God, to stop them from doing things that they don't know what they're doing. They're just following Jesus. But I want to tell you something. You know, we talk about this off and on. I don't know why I'm on this tonight exactly. I didn't plan on any of it. But, you know, if you're going to walk in the supernatural realm, you're going to have to learn to, you're going to need to learn how to, he's going to take you somewhere with thoughts or knowing things. It's not like you hear a voice. You know, the voice is there, but it's not like a voice. It's like you know things. You see and knowing it. Jesus said, I only do what I see, my Father did. What he was saying was, I know things. You know, the Father and him were communicating in a sense. He was feeling and sensing and knowing. And so seeing is knowing, right? And so when you start seeing that and understanding, my sheep know my voice, which is really a more clear word. It's about what you know. It's the information that comes into your spirit. And you have to learn how to trust that. You learn how to see what information comes from God and what information is just, you know, you're trying to figure out what God's saying. You know, and you learn that, and you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to misunderstand things. And if you don't make it through that, you're not going to make it, because that's part of the process of learning. That's part of the process of learning to walk in the supernatural. You're going to make mistakes. You're not always going to do everything perfectly right. But you know what? As long as you keep seeking God, he will always, when you start sinking, he's always going to be there like Jesus was with Peter. That's why I love that story. Because I've done my share of sinking. Walking in the water, man, and all of a sudden, you know, you get your eye on the wrong thing, and you start sinking. And the Lord, just he's right there. He's so gracious. He's so kind. He's so wonderful. Jesus is the most wonderful person you'll ever get to know. And if you don't know Jesus tonight, I want you to say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Cleanse me of my sins, all of them, and make me a new creation tonight in Jesus' name. Make me a new person. I want to be clean and pure before you, just as if I never sinned. And friend, that's what Jesus does when you ask him to come in your heart. So say, Jesus, say it with me, come into my heart. Save me, wash me, cleanse me. I want to be your friend. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord and my God. I know you died on the cross and shed your blood for me, and I thank you for that. Cleanse me now, Lord. I am a sinner. Cleanse me and make me right. Wow. Amazing, amazing. All right, I don't know who prayed that. You know, I don't normally do that, but really, really cool. So, all right. So, if you prayed that prayer for me tonight, if you want to let me know, you can. My number is 214-505-8719, and you can let me know that you prayed that prayer, and I would love to, you know, talk to you if you want to talk, or just let me know how you're doing. Call into the show. Say hello if you want, and I would love to visit with you. So, yeah. All right. Okay. Go back over here. Okay. I just had my computer do a little weird thing there. Give me just a second here. My computer just did something weird. Okay, there you go. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, let's take our callers tonight, see what's going on. We prayed that prayer tonight about Jesus, receiving Jesus as your Savior. Thank you for doing that. I think you'll be glad you did it. I speak over you that you are cleansed and washed of your sins because you've asked Jesus to forgive you. I speak over you and confirm to you that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are cleansed in Jesus' name. You are made whole tonight. You're a new creature in Christ. Yes. Precious. You're going to find him to be the most precious friend you've ever had in your life. I mean, dearly, dearly. Truly, truly, I should say. Dearly, dearly, truly, truly. You really will. Friend, you know, he'll take you through. He'll be with you through your mistakes, your sins, your failures. He'll be with you, and he'll pick you up, and he'll love on you. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but you're getting a double dose tonight. He loves you, I mean, like you've never known or seen. And when you get a hold of it, you're going to be glad that you prayed that prayer with me tonight, and I got to help you get to meet our Jesus, our God, our Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. All right, let's take callers tonight. Remember, we're not going to do any talking tonight. If you have an emergency prayer request, just give them to me very quickly, if you would, and no talking much. So I'm going to call out your phone number, and then when I call out your number, you'll tell me your first name and what state you're from, and then we'll mute you and then go on and pray for you and go to the next person. And do that person after person after person, okay? That's what we're doing tonight. All right, please pray for me, my niece Sharon, who was in an accident and injured the brain, right lung, and eye internally. She has been in ICU since Saturday in an induced coma. Oh, wow. Okay, who is this? 612. I don't even know. Who is this? 612. I probably shouldn't have said anything like that. In a coma. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, Joyce from Minnesota. Oh, Joyce from Minnesota. Wow, Joyce, I know it was you. Wow. Okay, let's do that. We'll pray. Are you on the show tonight? I can't. Let's see. All right, Joyce, we will definitely pray for her tonight for Sharon. Let's all pray for Sharon right now. This is Joyce. Joyce is like kind of at the bottom of the line here, but we're going to, we've got like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. Let's go ahead and take her right now. We'll take her first to see what's going on. All right. Hey, Joyce, how are you doing?
Hello?
Well, Your friend Sharon was in an accident.
My niece.
Sharon? Oh, your niece. I'm sorry. Yeah, your niece.
My niece, she's in Kenya.
Okay, that's not the one. That's not some of the friends that I met when we were there with you guys.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my niece.
Okay, she's in Kenya. Okay, we're going to pray for that. All right, and then we'll pray for you too. All right, good to see you tonight.
Yeah, good to see you too. Thank you.
You doing good? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing fine. Just have to deal with my niece here.
All right, yeah. Okay. All right, I'm going to mute you, and then Wednesday nights now, I don't know. Wednesday nights now, we go from caller to caller to caller without talking a whole lot, but I wanted to connect with you there, and I thank you for that prayer request. And we thank you, Jesus. We just, sweet Jesus, we thank you for sharing in the hospital right now, and a brain injury at her brain and right lung and eye internally. She has been in ICU since Saturday in an induced coma. Oh, my gosh. How old is she, Sharon? I didn't ask you how old is she. Is she, like, young or your niece? Your niece, is she going to be, like, what, in her 30s? Something like that. Okay, she's not responding to that yet. Okay, thank you, Jesus, for for her niece tonight. God, for sharing. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for in Kenya. We thank you, Jesus. We just speak the blood of Christ over her, God. We claim her soul. We claim her life. I don't know if she's saved or not. If she's saved, you know. You can text me and let me know that if you want. But I've prayed the sinner's prayer for somebody tonight, and I don't think I hardly ever do that on Friday. Off and on, I do it on the show, but not just a whole lot. And I don't know, I felt an anointing on that and felt love pouring through me, so I don't know whether that was for her or not. Let's ask her, okay. Joyce, do you know if she's saved or not?
Hello?
Yeah, do you know if she's saved or not? Is she right with God as far as you know?
She's a Catholic. So she's a very staunch Catholic.
Okay.
I can't, yeah. That's what I can say.
I understand. Okay. I just want to check with her. Okay. I'm going to mute you back again. All right. So because what I don't know if you listened just a moment ago, Sharon, but that was like, you know, the Lord was saying, I mean, Joyce, like you're only Sharon, Joyce, I meant Joyce. Somebody, Sharon was texting me. But I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I rarely do that. I probably need to do it more, but that was very unusual tonight. So thank you, Jesus, Lord, for if she's a Catholic, an unsaved Catholic, probably a very good kid, a very good girl, but if you're not saved, you know, it's not good. So Jesus, maybe that was for her. I don't know. In the spirit, I release that for her in the name of the Lord. I want to weep right now. I wanted to weep because all of a sudden I was aware of somebody getting saved or needing to get saved or something, and just, whoa, the power of God came on me. And, so thank you, Jesus. Save her soul, Lord. Save her body. Save her life. In Jesus' name, where she's right there at in the ICU. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray for Joyce tonight, God. We thank you for letting Joyce be the hand extended to Sharon. Yeah, Sharon. Okay, Sharon also had this is really wild because I had a Sharon texting me. Sharon from, somebody was texting me. Oh, it was Sarah, not Sharon. I'm getting all messed up. So anyway, I was, praying, and the Spirit of God just came on me, and so, wow, I'm still kind of trying to get over that one, but that was very unusual for me to do that. As most of you know who listen, thank you, Jesus. And so bless my friend Joyce, God. Let Joyce see your will being done. God, let Joyce see your work being done in Jesus' name. Let Joyce begin to see, you know, a brand new thing going on in her life toward information from God, toward sharing Christ in a brand new way, God. In Jesus, I just see you sharing Christ in a brand new way in Jesus' name. And so I thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Let that be done in her life, God, for moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel a refreshing joy of the Holy Ghost coming all over you in the name of Jesus. Man, I'll take that. Amen. A refreshing of the Holy Ghost be upon you in the name of Jesus. We release that person from death. We release them from death. They are not going in eternal death or any kind of death. We declare life over them right now in the name of Jesus. Merciful Lamb of God. Merciful Lamb of God. Be merciful, Lamb of God, in Jesus' name. And use Joyce in your supernatural of refreshingness of your power in the name of the Lord. Amen. Wow, Joyce. Okay. Amen. Thank you for calling in. All right, 610-969. Can I talk to the reform, please?
Shalom. Shalom, Prophet Randy. It's Lisa from Pennsylvania.
All right, Lisa from Pennsylvania. All right, Lisa, good to have you. Thank you very much. All right, we got Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. Let me meet you there. All right, good to have you tonight. Always good to have our brothers and sisters. And thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your people. Lord, I just thank you for a brand new love realm for Lisa, God. Just a brand new love realm. Like, you know, we go from 30, 60, 100 pounds. I don't know if this is, you know, totally biblical or not, but this is what I'm saying. Like, we go from the richness of 30-fold, like different grades of oil, different levels of oil, and like put your car, put 30 weight, you know, 50 weight, 60 weight, and it's like you go into a different weight of God's glory, a different weight, a different thickness of the God of glory, of the God of love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight, Father, that Lisa begin to enter into that love tonight, God, in a very powerful way, and she's a new love realm. She's going to say, man, you know, I just hear you saying, I found a new love realm. A new love realm in Jesus' name. Man, are the new love realm? I don't know about you, but I don't think God has any limitation to his love, right? There's different levels. There's the height, the width, the breadth, and the length. I don't know if you're going to be saying something like, yeah, I was in his height. Now I'm in his depth. Now I'm in the depth of his love. The depth, the love of God took me to the depth of Jesus Christ or something. I don't know what that is. But I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name and the surrendering heart that God's given you to surrender him and to surrender to his love and him, you know, fashioning your heart to be used by him in a mightier way. In the name of Jesus. Wow, my Lord and my God. What's going on tonight? Something's already happening. This is really cool. Man, when I led that person in prayer, whatever that meant, I don't know exactly whether they're going to pray it later or they're spiritually praying it now and God's having me agree with them. It could be happening in Kenya right now with this, with Sharon, Joyce's niece. I don't know, but something supernatural just happened, and I'm reeling off of it right now, literally reeling off of it. So that is really, really cool. All right. Okay, I'm trying to get some of the numbers down here. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. All right. All right. Wow, awesome. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. That was awesome, man. Woo! All right. Wow. 325-280, let me talk to you real quick, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hi, Chris. All right, my brother Chris. My brother Chris from Texas. He's got some cool things going on. God just blessing Chris and you know, there's something we've broken loose, Chris, into a whole new department or a whole new area or a whole new realm. And I think those who catch a hold of it, and this vein of revelation that God has given us, you know, through PGN, through the prophetic revelation that God has given us, as we, and you're part of that, of course, that's what I'm saying, and having been part of that, you know, we're going to tap into things. It's like, don't limit God. You know, it's kind of like, that's what God's saying. Don't limit me. You know, we're in a new season. We're in a new time. And if we can learn, like Lord was saying, Chris, he's going to show you how to not limit him and really just let him stretch you. You know, that's what the new wineskin is. The new wineskin that we talk about, the Bible, Jesus talked about the new wine, new wineskin. Talk about a new season, another dimension, a whole other, you know, whole new people, the whole thing. That when the new wineskins can stretch. And because this is new. This whole new. It's not just that you're new. I know you're not. You've been in the Lord for a while, but what we've entered into is something new. And all those who receive the new era revelation from heaven, or the new era understanding, you know, the era that we're in, era. I have to say it different ways. So that season that we're in right now began with Joe Biden. That we are going to see the unlocking and the manifestation of wealth and blessing, of the wealth of God's spirit, the wealth of walking in God's will. Jesus said, it's my meat to do the will of the Father. That meat means the meat, you know, not milk. Milk is wonderful. We got to have milk when we got milk, right? But when we walk in the meat of things, it's like walking in the meat, man. Oh, Chris got in the meat, man. He got in the meat realm. He's eating meat now. He's like, it's not just eating meat spiritually of your understanding of Jesus only, although that's always part of it, it's eating the meat of God's, the strength, you know, the power, the richness, the more of the fullness, because meat isn't milk. Milk is a whole different thing, right? We've got to have it. Why would we need it? But when you enter into the meat, it's like the meat of God's will. That's what Jesus said. It is my meat is to do the will of my Father. So you enter into the meat realm, and it's a whole different place, right? So when you're a child, you don't eat, you know, meat like that. You eat meat when you get older. And so it's like that. So that whole realm of like the new wine skin, you know, this new season we've entered into with the Biden, you know, and America being weakened, all that's coming to pass, you know, pretty quick in ways that I've been surprised at how America is beginning to become weaker. Because before Europe, because what we're about to see, Chris, and all those listening tonight, we're about to see the word that I got this weekend has to do with, and the market word, the world market word is about the baton, so to speak, spiritually being handed over to Europe. I'm going to talk about this pretty soon. Man, it's just going to, oh, my Lord and my God. I mean, whoa. Dude, it took me into a whole new place. And I just, it just flashed before me, and boom, I was a goner. I was a goner. I was like, oh, my God. That is unbelievable, amazing. And so because they're going to build their system, Europe is going to build their system, and the one more system. So we are going to build a system too. And so God, you know what God does? He blesses people with wealth strength for the Christian world, for this new wineskin. It's a new wineskin. It's not the old wineskin. It's the new wine and new wineskin, new revelation, the new wineskin, and it stretches. It doesn't pop, but it stretches. It expands with the expansion because it's new. And the wine is new. And the wineskin is not old. It's new, and it's stretchable. So this whole thing, God is stretching you. He's stretching you. And you can stretch with it. You're going to be able to stretch with it. Come short of the glory of God, coming short. And so really entering into this place of the new dimension we're into, the 1134, the Biden revolution, so to speak. And we're going to change it to the Love Fest revolution, you know, or something, I don't know, but on our end. But we're going to see this happen, and God has chosen people like you to step in. And he said, if you'll trust me and if you'll believe me, I will grow you. I will manifest you. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. Of course, you know, I make mistakes. But because we're seeking God, you know, I'm not talking about big, major mistakes. I'm talking about just little things, you know. And God is always adjusting us. And even when we do, he takes those things and he like when Peter sinking in the water, that was just a mistake. It wasn't some horrible sin. You know, it was a mistake. Jesus, where's your faith at, Peter? So God's going to continually get your faith on him. So that as a storm gets closer and closer, we're going to see that God has called us, woo, Jesus, hallelujah, to walk on the water. Except this time, by the grace of God, we're going to learn the focus on Jesus and not make the mistakes. We're going to make sometimes we're going to sink a little bit, but Jesus is right there to catch us where we don't go down, because sometimes we have a fear of going down. I'm stepping out too much. I'm stretch too much. I'm still too much going on. Am I going to go down? Well, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't. But if you start to go down, he's right there to catch you. That's the beautiful part about this thing that God's doing. Yeah, that's the beautiful part about it. It's like, and then you get another chance and another chance. Pretty soon we're going to be the storm. The closer the storm gets, the more powerful it is to walk on the water, dude. Oh, my God. Do you feel the anointing on that, man? I do. I don't know what's going on, but when I led that person to Jesus tonight, whoever they were, something's happening. Something's happening. They might have just stepped into heaven, and it's like I did when I got saved, because something happened in me, and I stepped into something. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The sweetest name. Y'all know what we're about to head toward? We're already heading toward it, and if you can not look at the storm like a lot of prophets and people are telling you to do. Oh, we got a storm. We got to get out of here. Look, the storm's going to be so bad. Yeah, Jesus says, come on and walk on it. Walk on the water. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. All right. 863-268. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hey, it's Nikki from Florida.
Oh, hey, Nick. All right. Nick. Like Nikki. All right. I'm sure calling you Nika, N-I-K-A. Like when they added to Abraham's name, you know, Nika, Abra. Lord, I thank you for the breath of God breathing in her nostrils, God, the spirit of life. The breath of life, and you give her a new breath. It's like I see you getting a new breath, God, breathing into your lungs, breathing into your system, a breath of, and as you breathe in that new breath, you know what goes into our lungs are, I don't even understand how the body works in the lungs, but I'm just, you know, okay, I'm going to say this. So when we breathe in air, that air gets into our blood system, and that air, that oxygen goes through our system, and oxygen, I don't even know what exactly oxygen is. I'm talking like I know, but I really don't know. So I know oxygen does a lot of things to your body, and it brings life, and it brings health, and it brings cleansing. And I see this fresh oxygen through the breath of God breathing freshly into your nostril, the breath, the fresh breath of Jesus. I see you coming out of shock, like your body's got to come out of shock. I see your body coming out of shock and through this fresh breath of air with that oxygen, with that, it's like a different kind of oxygen. It's like Holy Ghost oxygen that Jesus brings to your nostrils, getting to your lungs, that Holy Ghost oxygen, that spirit of life oxygen, getting into your lungs and going through your body as your blood carries it through your body. It's Holy Ghost oxygenation. Woo, I'll take that stuff, man. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, and your daughter, I guess you told your daughter I was praying for her and Lillian. And she emailed me today, and I got her email. I haven't responded yet back because I have a lot going on, but I saw it and read it and acknowledged it, so I'm in the process of working on that, praying over that. Amen. So I just see God wanting to breathe fresh life, because we're going to go through these seasons, Nikki, where, you know, our family, our children, like talking with, like in reference to your daughter, you know, Stephanie and Lillian have seen that, you know, it's almost like when Jesus was looking like he was being taken down, you know, like the church was looked like it was going down, and yet it just kept growing and growing and growing, no matter what the pain, no matter what the suffering, no matter what they were going, no matter what the government was doing, the church just exploded, which is a direct picture of what we're about to see in the body of Christ through the tribulation and the great tribulation. We're going to see the church explode and God protect. The church explode and God protect all over the globe. But it's going to seem at times like the darkness, like in Europe, the darkness, because she's in Germany. And God showed me, it's really interesting because the word God gave me this weekend about the world markets, and it has to do with the merging of the global one world system. I mean, we're literally about to see that, and I've got timing and everything. Wow, my God. It's just like earth shaking. We got some time, but, you know, it's not like next week or even, I can't say too much, but because I don't give information out anymore publicly about all that. But get ready. That's all I'm saying. And it's like the darkness would come, try to come on the church, and then all of a sudden an explosion of light. So that's what I see. It's like the darkness trying to come on your daughter and your granddaughter, and like looking like that's swallowing them up, and all of a sudden, an explosion of light. An explosion of light! Hallelujah! And I mean an explosion of light. When an explosion goes off of light, it just dissipates all the things that darkness are trying to close in with that thorns and thistles and, you know, all the stuff. My God, it just explodes with the glory of Jesus, with a mighty cleansing, a mighty washing. Hallelujah. And I hear God saying to them, how dare you touch my babies? Woo! How dare you touch my babies? That's what I hear the Lord saying over them. My God. And I know Stephanie ain't no baby, but he's God's baby. She's God's baby. And that little baby doll is definitely God's baby doll. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My Lord and my God. Woo! Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. I don't know what, y'all. I stepped into something tonight. Amen. We pray for Charles, God. Pray for Charles, God. Enlighten Charles, God. Enlighten his love. Enlighten him. Give him enlightenment. Give him courage. Give him strength, God. You give hope for the original hope. What you do with Abraham? Abraham hoped when there was no hope. Sometimes we go through things where God says, you know, I want you to hope when there is no hope. Amen. And Abraham trusted God and hoped against hope. You have to hope. I don't know what this means. Hope against hope. How can you hope against something? You see what I'm saying? He hoped against, that is what it says, right? Am I getting that right? Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Hope against hope. Yeah, there it is. Let me see if I can. Yeah, I think that's it, man. He hoped against hope. Come on, get me there. Come on, Internet. Don't be messing with me right now. I need help. I do. All right. Okay. So hope against hope. Hope against hope. Hope. I'm going to read this definition. Hope against hope. Definition. Hope or wish for with little reason or justification, as in I'm hoping against hope that someone will return my wallet. That's a really good explanation. Did you hear that? Because it says Abraham hoped against hope, right? Romans 4:8. Against all hope, Abraham hoped, believed. He believed hoping against hope. Yeah, that's the thing that caught my attention was hoping against hope. So that he became the father of many nations according to what? Spoken in Jesus' name. Well, how do you hope against hope? It's like hoping against something. I mean, I know that's probably not what that means, but like, what is that? That's like, oh my gosh, hoping against hope. Wow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Yeah. Anyway, look at that. Do a thing on hope against hope. Hope or wish for with little reason of justification, as in I'm hoping against hope that someone will return my wallet. This expression based on biblical. All right, so whatever that means. Amen. It's rich. All right, 903-918. Who am I talking to real quick, please?
Michelle from Texas.
Hi, Michelle. All right, Michelle, good to have you. Michelle, who can tell? Yeah, all those people are going to hell. Michelle, they're not going to hell. Michelle, I'll tell. They're all not going to hell because I'm going to save them. I'm going to raise them. Yes, I am. Michelle, I'll tell. telling you right now, they're not going to hell. They're going to get saved. You're going to get saved, Michelle. Hallelujah. You know, one of the greatest ways to the transfer of wealth, you know, even financially, is the wealth, it's not always financial, but it, many times it is the wealth of, you know, family getting right with each other when they get forgiveness and they get, make things right. That's wealth. The wealth of, you know, of forgiveness. Yeah, but the transfer of wealth, the greatest way to transfer wealth is, just as an example in the natural realm with money, a man or a woman or a family has a lot of money, and they're giving all their money to the devil, you know, do the devil's work, and all of a sudden they get saved, and all of a sudden that money that was going to the devil, now that money starts going to God, right? Yeah. So when they quit going to hell and they go into heaven, and their money goes to heaven with them, in a sense, you know, in other words, it starts being used for heaven's purposes. And so, Michelle, I can tell, they're all not going to hell. They're going to get saved. Yeah, going to get raised. All right, 202-722. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. All right, we got people from all over the place. Really, really cool. All right, Michelle, Nicole. Help me, Jesus. I need lots of help. All right. I just want to sing. I don't know if it is. All of a sudden, I want to sing. Something's broken off inside me. I mean, something's loose. Something's been loose, Nicole. Something's been loose. Something's been loose. Yakavale she prako paringe chenga rohapato. Pale, 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 pale. The manifestation of my glory. I see your toes. I see your, I don't know why, your toes, your big toe and your toe right next to it. So for some reason, I don't want that to do anything, but stepping right into the glory of God, like it's tapping in, like you're tapping in, like when they took the Ark of the Covenant and they were crossing over the river. It's like they put their toe or their foot in the water, and I'm saying your toe, especially those two toes, I don't know why. Maybe they're real long or something. Maybe they're longer than the rest of your toes. I don't know. It may not be. I've never seen your toes. So I don't know. But the big toe and the toe next to it, just touch it. Stepping into, like you're stepping into something new. And you're going to watch. You're going to watch, girl. You're going to watch the Jordan just open up. My God. And make a way for the people of God. That's what God would use you for. It's to make a way for people. Make a way for people to understand. They're only going to be teaching on Book of Revelation here in December. We're trying to prepare for that and get you into the switchboard and learn all that stuff. I haven't got that set up yet, but we're going to be doing that soon. And I have a feeling, I don't know, I have a feeling that it has to do with that. That it has to do with that thing. This is that. You know, in the Book of Acts, it says, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it says, Peter steps up and he stands up and he says, this is that which was prophesied. Yeah. And so a lot of things God showed you, you're going to be saying, okay, Randy, or whoever's listening to me now, this is that. This is that. It could be the Trump thing. It could be other things. It could be other things God showed you. You're going to be saying, okay, this is, in other words, it means that it had been promised for years. And then all of a sudden when the Holy Spirit came, you know, Peter stood up prophesying, saying that we're not going to longer going to say this is going to happen. He's saying this we're doing is that was prophesied in the scripture. This is that. Hallelujah. This is that. In other words, here it is. It's right now. It's a right now word, a loose word, a glory word, a right now word. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, I need to start praying sinner's prayer, I guess, in the show because, I mean, you know, although that was a supernatural drawing, that's the difference between, you know, you can pray for somebody for 10 years to get saved, and one preacher, one servant of God can feel the drawing of somebody, and all of a sudden, just one word, you know, less than a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, boom, pray the sinner's prayer. You know, y'all know me. I used to be an evangelist. That's all I ever thought about was winning souls to Jesus, and I still do, but it's a whole different thing now. And so for me to do that, it's like God says, Randy, somebody needs to be saved. And I'm like, okay, somebody I know. You know, like, somebody I know. I don't know, whatever, I don't know. And I mean, there was a drawing, man. And when they get drawn into Jesus, that reminds me of when I got saved. Because when I came to Jesus, it's because he drew me. The first time I came to, quote, came to God, went to the altar and prayed all that nonsense stuff they told me to pray. It wasn't nonsense stuff, but, you know, but it didn't work. That's why I wasn't being drawn. Somebody was being drawn tonight, y'all. Somebody, there's a drawing. I mean, it's a draw. It's a draw. When God draws it, that's it. It's done. It's a drawing tonight. Hallelujah. All right. My gosh. Okay. Okay. 972-695. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
No, that's not Terrence. That's Tanisha. I know the difference. You can't fool me, girl. I know his voice. Hey, she's trying to speak up for you, brother. Okay. I don't know why I give them a hard time. I give them a hard time sometimes. You know, I don't know. You know, you guys have that friendship thing. That's what you have. You have that friendship thing where people just want to be your friend. And be friendly. And when you're friends with people, you know, I'm friends with people, you know, I play with them. I like to play. I like to have fun and be silly and, you know, just enjoy life. And you guys have that about you. It's just beautiful, man. And that same anointing, you know, and as I heard your voice and saying Terrence and Tanisha, that friendship thing of God, that, you know, being a friend to sinners, being a friend, just being a friend to whoever, you know, because that's what people are looking for, y'all. You know that, Terrence and Tanisha. You know, God is looking for friendship. He wants to show that the world he can be a friend to them, especially sinners or even Christians who are in a lot of sin, right? They need to know somebody will be their friend. And a friend means you don't rat on them, you don't backbite on them, you don't look for ways to take them down. You look for ways to help them. Because when they're a friend, you become a real friend. I mean, a friend closer than a brother. And you guys have that anointing in your life, that calling, the friendship of Jesus. You can't have that friendship thing. People can be friendly and be friends, but when it's the friendship of Jesus in you, that's probably one of the greatest drawing points that a person can have in their life. It's the friendship, not just of a human being, but of Jesus. Jesus' friendship, the way he befriended sinners. And I think it had a lot to do also with Israelites, you know, who were Jewish people who went to the temple and all that, and they had trouble with sin. Maybe Peter or James, I don't know. But when they got around Jesus, they just thought, well, you know, I don't think you're going to condemn me for my sin. I don't think you even look at me like that. You know, like the woman who was caught in adultery. You know, I mean, what did Jesus show her? He says, I'm not really looking at you as a sinner. I want to be your friend. You know, where'd your condemners go? And it's the condemners, and that's what I see you doing. I see you saying, like Jesus said, okay, you know, Miss Adulterer or whatever they got going on, Christian, non-Christian, Mr. and Mrs. Sinner, you're in sin. You may know Jesus, but you're in sin. You know, where are your accusers? And they look at y'all, and they go, I don't know. They're gone. They And neither does the Lord condemn you. Go and sin no more. Oh, my God. And you want to talk about an anointing for growing? Because, you know, the biggest thing with ministry is that we force people, we wheel and deal, we do all these things to get them to do things. You know, and this is one thing I love about Paul the Apostle is that he said that it's all about drawing. He said, I could come and command you, you know, because he was their father. He was a powerful man of God and all that. And they knew his authority. And he, if he said something, they'd be going, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Bob. Yes, sir. That's it. But no, he didn't do that. He said, I could come like that, but I beg you. I come for love's sake. I beg. In other words, he's saying, you know, let's just do this because we want to. Let's do this because it's a whole different attitude of leadership that God wants to use you guys for, to be leaders that draw people in, that befriend them, to let them know, hey, they may condemn you, but I'm not. Yeah, we want to help you get it right, because getting right with Jesus is beauty. It's love. It's compassion. It's glory. It's wonderful. Oh, yeah, he'll help you through all your issues. He'll help you through all of your problems. You know, I don't come to condemn you. I can, and that's the spirit about you guys, that God's pouring through you. Where are your condemners at? Oh, sinner, you know? Yeah, you know what? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And it's not like we tell them, it's okay to sin, right? But in a very non-condemning, very loving way, we say, you guys say to them, you know, go and sin no more. It's like you're releasing the power to go sin no more. No, it's just not like, go sin no more, you sinner. I know you're going to. It's just the opposite of that. It's when you say go and sin no more, it's like you're releasing the power to go. As they go, they will have the power to sin no more in that area, whatever it is, that weakness. Hallelujah. And that's that drawing power of God. I'm talking about Paul. Paul was one, he wanted to draw people. He wanted people to get to hear from God, that they would have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Christ Jesus, just like he had. Well, they'd need a thorn because they got so much revelation, right? That's what Paul wanted for everybody. He was generous. He used to be killed if you don't do it our way, right? He was killing people. He killed Stephen, had Stephen killed, and had a license, if you will, from the priesthood to kill, you know. And so now he's just the opposite, because he killed Stephen, and he remembers that. And he's going like, man, I was like the wrong spirit. And he connected with Jesus' spirit, that friendship thing, meaning that, you know, yeah, I'm here to help you. If a brother sins, let's restore him, you know, instead of let's, you know, take him out and stone him or whatever. Yeah, to that whole realm of the grace of God, of fulfilling the law, but by the Holy Spirit and by love. Paul says, by love, I want to beg you, not command you, I beg you. In other words, he was humbling himself and being their friend, being somebody that could say, you know, you love us. You're our Father. And I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's that drawing power that I'm talking about tonight. That's the drawing power of God. And it's working through you and for you. You're being broken right now. It's like God is breaking up. You're entering into a new season, to a new time. And we always get surprised at all the things that we meet in those new areas, in those new times. Because it's like when they went into the land of Canaan, they entered into their homeland. You know, Canaan means owning your home, you know, owning your property. There was a battle. There was a battle. They had to fight giants. But when they got through that, so they were surprised when they got to their homeland, you know, they were warned about it. They were told about it. And even Joshua and Caleb told them, yep, the giants are big, but look at the fruit. The fruit is huge, man. We can do this thing through Christ. And the other ones fed them doubt, but they fed them hope. So when they saw it, even though they'd been told it by Joshua and Caleb, they were still surprised, like, oh, my gosh, they are big. Oh, wow. And they were then suddenly confronted with what they already knew, but now it's a reality. And with God's power, they slew the giants. You guys are giant slayers. No doubt about it. You're going into giant land, giant territory. And that's what's opening up right now, is the giant territory. The dream I had about giants, that's all opening up right now. All right, 240-42, who am I talking to or something?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hi, Valerie. All right. Valerie. Yeah. Yeah, it's like I want to say something like ballerina, you know, like ballerina, like I hear, you know, ballerina. What does ballerina mean? I don't know if you're a ballerina or not. That has nothing to do with it, really. But maybe you always wanted to be one. I don't know. But the thing, Valerie, is this. When I saw your name and I heard you say Valerie, the thing I heard, even though I know I didn't hear that, I heard it in the spirit, was ballerina. What's a ballerina? You know what a ballerina is. They're gracious. They're graceful. The way they, when they perform, when they do the thing, it's so beautiful. It's so flowy and so, you know, just like, it's just amazingly beautiful. And, you know, so, yeah. So it's like I see God forming that in you and shaping that in you where it's not, you know, you're not shaking that leg like, ain't nothing but a hound dog, ow, crying all the time, you know, that kind of a thing. It's like beautiful orchestrated, you know, music from heaven, just, you know, violins and just, you know, beauty and flowy and gracious and, you know, all the things that ballerinas do when they're really good. And it creates an atmosphere. And I see God create an atmosphere of you, that your life, that your spiritual walk with God is like, you know, that full of grace, because we're in the drawing room tonight, drawing power of God. And I know that the ballerinas, that, you know, the people that really do it with a heart and a beauty and for God. And I mean, it just draws you into a realm. It draws you into a place of like, the aura, the glory of God, the graciousness of God. Oh, wow. That's what I saw immediately, just boom, just like that. Thank you, Jesus. That is amazing. Woo! Porque fraca shakare gorne gapincendo potiri borapu pamai. Paimo manora mahari no kori mendero go shakara papa. Yeah, graciousness, beauty. Me, yeah, awesome. All right, there you go. All right, 912-398. You want to talk to me, please?
Paulette, Georgia.
Hi, Paulette.
Hi.
Paulette had a great testimony. I've talked about it a little bit already, but it's always fun to talk about it. She asked us to pray for her daughter, Kayla. I think it's Kayla. I don't have the note right in front of me, but she prayed for Kayla so we can get in contact with Kayla. I guess Kayla is just like kids do. Like, I used to disappear all the time. My mom and dad would not have a clue where I was at. And, you know, they're really so. But I don't know if they were praying for me. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, Paulette was saying, hey, you know, pray that, you know, I get in contact with my daughter. My daughter will contact me or something. And so, you know, I prayed over her offering on Thursday, I believe, if I say this correct. And I said, you know, you're going to hear from Kayla in a very unusual way. And she texts me back a few days later. She said, Randy, you know, I think you gave me this word that said, I'm going to hear from Kayla in a very unusual way, which is exactly right. And because I remember that word, and she said that's exactly what happened, and she talked about it a little bit, and so, you know, amazing. And some other things she said, God's been answering for her. God is answering prayer, man. But God is loving on people. God is loving. He wants to love on people. He wants to shed abroad His love into your daughter's heart. In Jesus' name, I see the love of God being shed abroad in her heart. Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Shed abroad. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost sheds abroad the love of Christ, right? Sheds abroad the love of God. How does it say it? The love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in our hearts. So there's just something about love going on. There's a love thing going on with you. And God revealing His love for sinners, for people who make mistakes, for people who fail. For people who can ruin their life, you know, like especially, you know, young people that can make one little mistake and just, you know, the enemy just takes advantage of it. And so I see you intervening in love and releasing God's love and God's mercy and God's grace on behalf of people. It's kind of like that hovering thing where you're hovering over them in prayer and then said all of a sudden the Bible says, you know, let there be light. And then there was suddenly light, like when God is hovering over. Okay, there you go. That makes sense now I see, Paulette. It's about, you know, when in Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, I think it's somewhere around, it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep because the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Whoa, girl, you get that? Yeah. Dear Jesus. And Spirit of God, you know, through you, Paulette, hovering over the situation, praying over it, and speaking. And then suddenly it says, and God said, let there be light. And all of a sudden, light went into that situation. Light went into that formless, voidless, purposeless person, or, you know, to the earth at this moment, actually, but into a person's life, and speaking light. And I think it's the way God wants you to pray. Maybe you're already praying this. I don't know. Praying that light, let there be light, and then there was light. And that's when that light came into the earth, you know, was, what's that right there? I haven't read it in the last few days, but, yeah, let there be light. So that's what God's saying. That's what God is saying. Wow, let there be light. Yeah, and through the hovering of God's love over your daughter, over her life. And here's the thing, breathing and praying shape and her life be shaped and formed, in other words, with purpose. Does she have purpose? If people don't have purpose from God, they get distracted. I mean, you know, happens to all of us. We're all looking for, some people are more driven to have purpose than others. We're all driven to have purpose to a certain degree, but some people have it a lot more. And I see God really using you to pray purpose into, you know, people, not just your daughter, but people. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. And I saw you hovering over them in prayer, and all of a sudden you, God through you speaking light, let there be light. And light was like, you know, illumination of you know, hope and dreams and purpose. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 940-224. Hello?
I'm on the phone. Michael?
Yeah, 940. Michael. Oh. Hello, Michael?
Michael from Texas.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Got you. All right. I don't know, I heard your voice. I think that was you. Thank you for being there. Michael, yeah, Michael from Texas. Hallelujah, Lord, let your angels, let your angels' wings, you know, be in his life. Cover him with your feathers, God. Cover him with your protection. Cover him with your mercies. Cover him with your glory. Cover him with the touching power of God, where you touch him and your feathers touch him in the softness and the warmth and the you know, the beauty of feathers. Feathers, you know, that's why I put feathers in pillows, because it's very soft, very soft. I thank you for your tenderness upon Michael, God, that you pour out your love and your mercy and your tenderness on him, Jesus. Let it manifest in him, God. Let that tenderness manifest in him, and let him release the feathers of God on other people, like that comforting, soft, like they can lay their chest, their head on the pillow of your chest. So, in other words, your chest becomes a pillow where people can lay their head on your chest and trust in you and God, and know God is. No, God is doing something in your life, and in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that, Father. Thank you for the spirit of comfort on Michael, God, in Jesus' name. Strengthening him, comforting him, moving on him, God, and opening up his life so he can move forward with his future, with his family, with a new family. A new family, new wine, new wineskin, a new life, in Jesus' name. Let it be done, Father, right now, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 847-505, we're going to talk to you real quick, please. 847-505. Marja. All right, Marja. Hey, Marja. Yeah. All right, Marja. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Margaret, I thank you, Lord, for Margaret. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of victory, God, in Jesus' name. Victory, victory is our cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. And, you know, and respect. Victory and respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Like, you know, read this thing. Yeah, respect. Like, I see God bringing you respect. And, you know, that, you know, and sometimes we have to allow for people to respect us, you know, like don't just, you know, give into whatever they want, you know, as far as their, you know, demands or whatever. Sometimes we have to we don't demand respect, but we allow for them to realize we're not that easy. You know, like, you can't just say whatever you want to me. You can, but, you know, you're not going to get my respect. So respect, this whole thing about respect, God showing you how to gain respect at a whole other level in your life, where people respect you, and they realize that, you know, when I come around Marja, you know, there's respect, because she respects God, she honors God, so we respect her, and I think God's going to show you how to draw that respect at a new level, how to draw that respect from others and from people, and in Jesus' name, and from, you know, leaders and from friends and from, you know, people in your life that you want to be close to, that there's that respect. And that they're going to see that respect and honor is due to you, and it's going to open up the door for that, so they can honor you, so they can respect you, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for her life tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus, for opening up that level of respect and honor in her life, God, in Jesus' name. Because I know she respects you, Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, that because of that respect, you're going to enter her. She's going to enter into that respect. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's like, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They shall get mercy because they're given mercy. It's like, as you give respect, because you give respect to God and God's servants, you know, as you do that, as you drink that in and you do that and you bow down to the Lord and you honor him and you honor God's servants, and worship him and honor those that he brings to you, that it's like drinking that in. And when you drink it in, it becomes part of your countenance, right? So if you respect and you drink in respect and you drink that in, whatever you drink in, it shows up in your skin, in your face, in your countenance, right? That's the only way I can describe what I see. And that respect that you have for God and love for God and honoring God, that's going to get into your countenance, and people are going to be drawn to respect you, and therefore you're going to have influence with them that you haven't had before, and hold on level. Well, that's awesome. I'll take some of that. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 803-991. Who am I talking to real quick, please?
Hi, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Angela. Angela. Yeah. Angela. The heart of God in you, Angela. Angela. Hallelujah. Sheko pakwate machonge pochuri pabute feki mahuma mekeleke shoko tatamale pekalakono lokolineke the integrity of God in you, that integrity is like that Holy Ghost spiritual integrity in the warfare realm of integrity. You know, so when we walk in integrity with God, and I don't know that I know exactly what integrity, the exact definition of integrity. Let's look at it. Yeah, integrity, the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Moral uprightness. She is known to be a woman of integrity. The state of being whole and undivided. Wow, awesome. Upholding territorial integrity and the international sovereignty. The condition of being unified. Unimpaired. Or sound in construction. I'm just reading this off here. Internal consistency, yeah. So there's something about the quality of honesty and the moral principles of uprightness. So as God, you know, so sometimes, you know, we have our own moral integrity, like I say, but when God begins to reveal that to you, as God reveals things to us, then we step into it. Then it's not like a a difficult, overwhelming, you know, impossibility to walk in integrity, you know, to the highest level. It's like a continual struggle, you know, to do that in certain areas, you know. And so God just, you know, God imparting to you the spirit of integrity, where you just find yourself like we're not under the law, but when we walk in the spirit, we fulfill the law. It's kind of like that. It's like you walking in the spirit, you find yourself just seeking God, loving God, and I see the spirit of integrity just rising up in you, and people trusting you, people believing in you, people going, yeah, when she says, when Angela says something, it's like, you know, you can bank on that. You go to the bank on that stuff. And God really intensifying that and multiplying that, increasing it. And bringing you, you know, business, bringing you, you know, when I say business, I mean like, Shannon says here, same as the one Jesus called a true Israelite, the man without guile, perfectly in perfect integrity. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Shannon. That was awesome. That was good. So God's really imparting that to you. You know, not, it's already in you, of course, already, but it's like you're entering into a realm of the Holy Ghost integrity, not just human integrity, you know, doing the right thing and all that, but Holy Ghost, because integrity with the Spirit of God, I think, is a little bit different than the human level, the way we see integrity. It's like integrity of speaking God's word, the integrity of, you know, not just saying the truth, but saying the truth that relates, you know, or giving somebody something that not what it just looks like is the right thing, but what is the right thing. That's called Holy Ghost integrity. So that's Holy Ghost integrity. That's what a prophet does. A prophet gives information, you know, no matter what, whether it's going to be like or dislike. And so you can give words that will be opposite of everybody else, you know, and the integrity of it is that you did what God said, no matter what, no matter what price you pay. That's high. That's one of the higher levels of integrity. And we're all wanting that, right? And we're all wanting to learn to walk in that. And so I see God really doing it with you, and it opened up doors, even in business and different things. People trusting you, all that kind of stuff. Awesome. All right. Okay. 353-893-894.
Hey, Randy, it's your brother from Ireland. How are you?
Hey, it's Tony from Ireland. Doing very well tonight, sir. Good to have you. All right. Okay, all right. You know, on Wednesday we don't talk. So I'd love to talk to you, brother. That looked like an international number, but I wasn't sure who it was. It's really, really good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I see the you know, Jesus Christ is, Tony, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's a human being. This is something God just showed me, lady, and I think it's really cool that he's about to speak some of this to you, is that, you know, Jesus Christ is a human being, a real human being. It's like, you know, if we were to meet, you know, even though we've never really seen each other, don't really know each other, only our voice to each other and talking to each other on PGN. But, you know, when we finally meet and go, man, you really are a real human being, and let's go eat dinner, and, you know, whatever, together. Let's go, you know, run around, go to some meetings, go do something. And so it's like all of a sudden you just connect with me, or I connect with you and go like, man, you know, you're in Ireland. You got that Ireland accent. And you will realize that we're real human beings. That's what I see with Jesus. I see with Jesus with you being a real, like the reality that he's really at the right hand of the Father. He's not some mystical figure. You know, he's really real, and he's a human being who has a glorified body. And you having that, the reality that he's a real human being, and he thinks, and he's not some robot who does only what God says. You know, he could have done whatever he wanted to do. He was a human being, right, just like us. And God's showing you and helping you relate to him as a human being, you know, like right now on the earth, since you are a human being, right? And walking like Jesus walked, you know, in the humanity of Christ, learning obedience through the things you suffer. That's what it says in Hebrews about Christ, that he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He didn't do everything perfect all the time. He never sinned, you know, different than us. But the thing that was so hard was that for the people of Israel is that they had somebody standing in front of them, a human being, you know, and he's saying, you know, I'm God's son. And they're looking at it like, so they're kind of like trying to picture God's son. You're God's son and a human being, you know, who goes to the restroom and eats food and has to have food to live. And you're, you know, it's like they had a hard time relating to, you know, him, you're God's son. You're like, you know, that's blasphemy. You can't. So they couldn't quite connect to him and his human nature and his human being, human beingness, right? So he, so I see you really, you know, it says in 1 John that 1 John is where it talks about he who we touched, who we felt, who we spent time with, who we ate with, you know, we saw him, we were with him, you know, it's like they were trying to say he's a real human being and this is really real. And he really did walk with God. He really did heal the sick, and he really did all those things. And be able to identify, Tony, with that part of Jesus is what brings, you know, the supernatural part of him and the everydayness part of him, how he talked with people and loved people and got tired and slept and, you know, ate food. He liked to cook. He was a cook. He would cook fish. And just relating to that part of Jesus, man, that's beautiful, bro. It's really beautiful. And you know, going to the marriage feast and, you know, telling the disciples to get a bunch of water pots, these pots and fill them with water. Like, okay, we're going to serve this for the wine. You know, like, God, is Jesus some kind of trick you're going to do? What are you going to do, put something in there? I mean, you got something we don't know about? And they didn't realize that this, though he was a regular human being, they also were amazed at the miracles that he did, right? At being a human being, you know, a guy who talked, a guy who said hello and goodbye and good night, and got sleepy and maybe got a little grumpy sometimes, you know, like, get behind me, Satan. That's not really grumpy, right? But that's something I could come up with real quick. So, you know, and just walking with Jesus and knowing that he's not some mystical thing that we can't identify with. He's really a human being. He just happened to be seated right in the Father. And the Holy Spirit is going to make him real, and his the humanity of Christ isn't just like our humanity. His humanity was very human, very real, very everydayish, and yet very supernatural. Yeah, and being able to connect that, man, is amazing, absolutely amazing. All right, bro. All right, 903-808. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, this is Janie from Texas.
Hey, Janie. All right. You can tell Jeannie's from Texas because she talks like a Texas girl. Yeah, Jeannie from Texas. You know, Jeannie, they made fun of me when I went to California for some. I remember I went to California. This is back in my wild days. And, you know, I didn't know I talked like that. I didn't know. I never even thought about it, you know. Everybody in Texas talks like a Texan. Some people talk more Texan than others. But when I went to California, it's like, you know, I couldn't figure out what are they laughing about, like, you know, I already felt insecure anyway, but they're laughing at me. Like, what are you laughing about? And then they would, you know, they would say, and they would talk Texas back to me. You know, like, instead of California, they would talk Texas, and I was like, going. And I still couldn't get it. Like, I was so dumb, so dingy. And I didn't even realize, you know, I knew they talked different, but I didn't think I talked, you know. But anyway, so it was really interesting how I started, you know, realizing that. What that is right now, I don't know exactly, except, you know, the Spirit of God is, you know, wanting to reveal the Holy Spirit's power and his glory. He's wanting to reveal his power and his glory. And even though we read books and we see how Catherine Coleman did it, or A.A. Allen, or whoever we look up to, you know, as servants of God, And we think we know what it would be like to have that experience and to walk in that, but we really don't, because not only does it happen different for every one of us, it's always different than what it looks like. It's always different than what it looks like. It's always like you know, like that, like I don't know if I can explain this right or not, but you know, the Spirit of God, when he comes inside of a person. You know, when I got saved, in other words, I never dreamed that being saved was like this, or I would have got saved a long time. I thought saved was like you got religious. You know, that's what I thought. I thought, well, you just straighten up. Well, I didn't want to straighten up. I was having fun. You know, I was only 18, 19 years old. I got saved when I was 20. I didn't want to get saved. I didn't want to get right with God. You know, getting right with God meant I wasn't going to have any fun. That was my image of it. So when I got saved, I realized, man, it was completely different than what I thought. Like, man, I'm happy for the first time. Man, like, I know God. You know, before that, if I had heard somebody say, you know God, I wouldn't be like, yeah, he's flipping out, you know. And I really did. And it was completely different than what I thought. It was so much better. It was so much amazing. And what I'm trying to get across to you, what I hear in the spirit is like, this is something you're going to begin to identify with. You're going to go, man, you know, I mean, I've been knowing the Lord a long time. I have fellowship with him, love him. I worship him, and you have all that going with God. But when the power of God begins to manifest, and the way it manifests through you, you're going to like, man, you know, I mean, I've read lots of stories about different people being used by God, but I didn't realize that happened. I mean, this is amazing. This is so much different than what I thought in this particular manifestation. You know, like, wow. Oh, wow. And really, you know, you just feeling like, man, I belong here. Because that's part of the thing that most people say. They think they don't really belong. Like, you have to be really special, go to Bible school and, you know, be, you know, some whatever it is, to you know, identify. They don't identify with the great men of God too much because they, you know, think, how can you ever be like that? I mean, it's just, you watch them flow in the spirit. You go, man, I could, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty amazing. We're just in awe of it, right? And so, being in awe of it, we kind of back off and go, man, I could never do that. I don't think. It has to be a miracle. And that's why when God brought Brother Danny in my life years ago in the 80s, I went to his meetings and revival broke out in Lubbock, Texas. I'll never forget about it. And for the first time in my life, Jeannie, this is what I see going with you. For the first time in my life, I identified with somebody who flowed the power of God, and something in me said, I can do that. And I've never been like that before. I'd never said I can do that, thought that I was worthy. You know, not that I was unworthy. You know, I just didn't think, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. I can witness for Jesus and see people get saved. But you be flowing in the power of God like that and see miracles and that kind of thing, yeah, you know, I mean, it's cool, but I don't know if I can. But with him, like God brought him in my life, and I didn't really get to know him real personally. I did drive him to the airport. The pastor of the revival called me up. He had my phone number. He told me, can you take Danny to the airport to there? Yeah, sure. I just cleaned up my car, took him. And I just, you know, never forget how I identified. God used him to connect me to the supernatural realm that I could do it. You know what I mean? Through Christ, of course. But that, with him, I saw that he wasn't like Mr. Hyper, perfect, you know. I mean, he was a very righteous man, but he wasn't like way above me or something, and yet he was, yet he wasn't. You see what I'm saying? It's like God used him, and all of a sudden, I'm connecting. And then it was right after that that I went into the building and started having services, calling out people just like he did. I mean, it was just amazing, the transfer of wealth that happened through that one thing, and I now, for the first time, identified myself as a person who could do that, and then started doing it, and it started happening, and people started going, whoa, like me with Danny, they go like, whoa, man, you had a meeting last night? Yeah, well, he called up these people and read their mail, and they got healed, and this, that, and the other, yeah, wow, that's what they started doing with me. It's like, I'm like going, I can't believe it, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Because God sometimes brings people, and with me, that's the way it was, he brought the person in, man, it was like, blowing the spirit was a lot easier than I thought. You know, I connected and took off. Amazing. All right. 225-454, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello, this is Karen calling from Louisiana.
Go ahead, Karen.
Hey.
All right. Karen calling from Louisiana. Hallelujah, Louisiana. I love it. All right. Let me go here and put your name in there. Yeah. Where we're at. All right. 225, I think that's it. Karen. All right, Karen. Thank you, Jesus, for Karen, God. I thank you, Lord, for that, you know, Paul the Apostle said, you know, God asked him, he kept asking God to take the thorn in his flesh away, and God kept going, but my grace is going to be your sufficiency. You know, you're going to learn to live on grace. And Paul was a very smart man. He was very intellectual. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, went to the highest schools, all the whole thing, you know, all the things I've never done, but, you know, thought, man, it'd be cool if you do that. But he did it. And so he, you know, God knew he was like that way, and he was going to have to humble him and give him thorn in the flesh so he would depend on God's grace, unmerited favor, instead of like, yeah, I'm a genius, I can do this, you know, no problem. You know, I can, so instead of living like that, he like, oh, okay, God, you know, I can't do this right. I've got to have your help. I got to have your help. So, and that's why Jesus said that I can't do nothing save what I see my Father do. And so this whole realm, Karen, about realizing that we can't do nothing that pleases God. We can do a lot of things. But if we're going to please God, we can't do it. I can't do nothing to please God save what I see the Father do. So I see God really more and more opening your eyes and showing you what knowing means, what seeing means. Seeing and knowing the same thing. Knowing is like knowing. Seeing is like knowing something. You know, oh, I see. You know, you don't really see anything, but you got it. Oh, yeah, I got it. I see. Seeing is knowing. And I see your knower, really, God, really open up your knower, your ability to see, or seeing and knowing the same thing. And you're really becoming aware of knowing when God's showing you something like, oh, God just showed me something. Wow. It's different than your mind showing you something or somebody else showing you something, which can be cool. But when God shows you something, it has a whole other feel to it, has a whole other understanding to it, has a whole other, you know, thing to it. And I see that light just going off in your head or your soul or whatever you're going to say. I see it going off inside. So when God turns on a light, so it's what I see, God turning on the light about the knowing, about the seeing realm, Jesus, that I can only do what I can do nothing except what I see my Father. When he said I could do nothing, that a lot of positive confession people say that's very negative. But when Jesus said that, he was saying, I can do nothing. In other words, I'm totally poor. I'm poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, and God's been showing you how to be poor and be rich at the same time. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So you see, you're poor in spirit, but rich with God's favor, rich with God's love, rich with knowing what God's doing and hearing it in your heart and knowing and learning that. And God opened you up to that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Turn the lights on, God. Turn the lights on in that area in the name of Jesus inside of Karen, God, that she can see and know how to pray, know how to talk to God. And, I mean, we know how to talk to God, right? But knowing that if we don't ask the right question, if we don't pray the right prayers, we don't get our prayers answered, right? So it's knowing what to pray for. So we still spend our time wasting God's time and wasting our time and praying prayers that are not going to be answered because they're not from the Holy Ghost. So we learn how to, we start knowing how to pray, knowing, you know, this is the real problem, not what I thought it was. It's just weird. And knowing stuff. So God is turning on your lights. You know, when the light goes on, the light of revelation, that is amazing. It's amazing. And God says he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. And God will see you to confound the wise. Because when you're walking in the knowing with God, you're going to be confounding a lot of people who think they're pretty smart. Yeah, it happens to me all the time. That's when I decided it's okay for God to say, I'm using the foolish to confound the wise. Because everything's foolish to God. The wisest men in the world are foolish to God. But his word is the only thing he's pleased with. All right, 912-946. Who am I talking to real quickly?
Angela Joy, Georgia.
Oh, hey, Angela. All right, Angela Joy, Georgia. I love it. All right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for you know, the clock is ticking. And, you know, when I say the clock is ticking, it's not like you only got so much time to get it done. But it's like when the clock starts ticking, it means that you know it's like, okay, a new something new has begun, a new day begins. Like when you wake up in the morning, you know, whatever, and 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever, you know, however late you stay. When your day starts, it's like, you know, okay, my day started. You know, like I see your day starting, like, you know, say at midnight, the new day starts. know, except we're sleeping when the new day starts, right? Which is really crazy. Oh, what do you do when the new day starts? Oh, I'm sleeping. Because I sleep from, you know, midnight, when the new day starts, until 7 or so in the morning, whatever. So, but it's like the clock is ticking toward with the new day. And so it's like we hear people say all the time, when a new day begins, you know, we get to start over again. You know, it's like there's a starting over again, and the clock is ticking like, okay, midnight, 12:01, 12:02, 12:03, 12:04, 12:05, you know, 1 o'clock, 1:05, 1:10, 2 o'clock, and the clock starts. It's not like you only got so much time to do it. It's not the point of the clock ticking. It's like it's the beginning of a new day, and literally the timing, you know. And so learning how to – asking God to show you how to not waste any time and yet learn how to wait. You know, sometimes waiting and, waiting on the Lord renews your strength. So, like, waiting is a valuable time to spend. Not doing things sometimes is a valuable time, like on the Sabbath day. Whatever your Sabbath is, you know, I know the Sabbath is Saturday, but whatever people's day they take off during the week to relax. Mine can be Sunday, sometimes it's Saturday, sometimes it's Friday. I just try to take off and not do anything. I try not to even revelate. I can help it, but it's kind of hard, you know, not to do that. But, you know, when the Father's working, we work, right? That's why it doesn't really matter whether it's the Sabbath or what it is. If the Father's working, it's not labor. It's not human labor. It's the Father laboring. Wow, that's a revelation right there. My gosh, you get a hold of that? That was really cool. Interesting. I just got something right there. I listen to myself. I listen to my voice and the words that come out of my mouth because I learn stuff all the time. And I just got a revelation. My gosh, it's amazing. Like, can we ever stop if we're, quote, having a Sabbath and supposed to be doing nothing? And yet all of a sudden God wants to get up and do something. We said, oh, no, God, I'm sorry. You work. I can't work today. No, Jesus said, if my Father works, I work. Right? Because and that's the whole realm. Oh, there you go. Yeah, shekiri mahoha. When you enter into the works of God, you know, you don't get tired. I mean, you know, you don't. It's a whole different kind of labor. And I see, you know, that's what the clock ticking. Now I see what that means. Like a season, like a time of, you know, no matter whether, you know, people say, are you supposed to be resting today? Yeah, but God told me to get up and go do this. But when the Father's working, then you work. And that's another dimension I see you walking into in a holy level. That's really cool. Wow. I love this stuff, man. Y'all getting this? I mean, this is like, you know, this is fresh, you know, this is fresh stuff. Woo! Fresh revies from heaven. In the name of Jesus. Wow. Wow. And I'm getting to a lot of callers quick, so that's pretty cool. All right. So there you go. So my Father works, I work. So God's showing you how to, when he's working, you work. You're going to work on the Sabbath, they said, you know, the Jesus. Let me find this scripture real quick. I'm getting this myself. This is awesome. I'm going to steal your word. I'm going to steal it, but I'm going to borrow it. I work with my Father. I work. Let's see. What did it say? I work. I guess I'm not even sure. He works. I work. Okay, let's look it up and see what that. Maybe Google will help me. All right. John 5:17. Okay, here it is. John 5:17, chapter 5, John 5. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. Okay, there you go. Because they were criticizing him. Let's see what they were saying. Israel. Oh, hello. Yeah, amen. I'm telling you, girl, that's like hot. I just got that. Yeah. She sent me a hallelujah. I know. I'm telling you, man, it's like that's a whole railroad. I just got that myself. You know, literally, I'm eating this myself. I really am. Let's go here. I'm going to go to the English Standard Version, John 5:17. Let's see what it says here. Okay. All right. John 5. Let's go. Where do we go? Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse happens to you." And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why, this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing things on the Sabbath. Woo! Man, I'm getting blessed by this. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." In other words, he did some overtime on his all blessed. Wow. And this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Wow, man. That was awesome. Yeah, and it goes on down. I got to read the rest of it. It's just, I'm just blown away. And Jesus said to them, the next verse, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing." I just gave this word to Karen, I think. "Can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him," oh, I love this, "all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will." Wow. I mean, that's, okay. Wow. I don't even know where I went with that. That was amazing. Jesus, yeah. My, she says. I know. That's what I was thinking. Like, whoa, Jesus. No, not whoa, like stop, but wow. Wow. Woo. Man, Lord and my God. That was amazing. Okay, I got that, man. That was truly cool. I mean, that was truly cool. All right. You know, a lot of words, sometimes words are just downloads of information, and then we take it and chew on it, right? People don't realize that, but sometimes it's just a download of information, and we get the information, we chew on it. All right, 951-966. Do you want to talk to Rick Grimm, please?
Hi, this is Regina, California.
Regina from Cali, California. All right, Regina. All right. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's just lately after my talk to you or something, after I hear your voice, like I just feel the goodness of God. I just want to say something good is on its way. Something good is happening. Something good, like good. God is good. I want to say God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. God is a good God. You know, Oral Roberts, who's one of my favorite ministers, I loved his, he was really, truly a father. I mean, he was a little bit of a merchandiser. He sold some stuff, but he was more of a, in raising offerings, and he kind of did, you know, but you know, so he was probably one of the most purest ones that I know. And he always said, his thing was, God is a good God. A lot of people took that and went too far with it, but I think he did pretty good with it. And, you know, and I'm reminded of him right now. I'm thinking about you, and I'm praying over you and thinking about it. Well, Roberts was a man who, I mean, I wrote him a letter one time about a sin I was having, just be honest with you. It's just, I wrote him a letter and said, man, I need help with this. And, you know, and so he wrote me a letter back, just like, I mean, a real letter, and responded to it. Like, I knew he had to read my letter, because the way he responded, he had to read it. And I mean, the information that came off that letter he wrote me was just, I mean, the Oral Roberts wrote Randy Chandler a letter. That's how I felt about it. You know, like, that's not, man, that man He was so humble. He was so sweet Jesus person and strong, very, very strong, but very, very compassionate. And I don't know why I'm thinking about him when I'm talking to you. I mean, I'm just, when I get words, I just tell you what I think and what I'm feeling. And I just feel like that. I don't know if you're going to meet somebody like that or something. Or wrong. I'm not sure what that is, but you know, you being like that, you know, he was very strong, but he was very compassionate. You know, he wasn't a wimp. He wasn't like, you know, he would stand up for himself, but he did it in a godly way. Some people stand up for themselves and they flash back at you, you know. But he would speak boldly. He was a bold man, like Paul the Apostle. But he spoke like a father. And when I got his letter, I mean, that's what really, I already loved Oral Roberts like it was, even though I never really met him or anything, but I went through some of his ORU meetings many, many years ago, and in the 70s. And I don't know why I'm even thinking about him with you. I can't get off this with you and Oral Roberts. And God, I don't know what this means, but I ask you to pour your spirit into my precious sister today, God. Pour your spirit into her love life, into her fellowship, into her strength of her God, that she will be like Oral. Oral was, to me, the greatest example of a balanced Christian who could be strong, but yet be humble and like a child. He could be like a child one minute and the next minute be, you know, strong and yet gentle at the same time. And I don't know. I really loved him. And so, God, I just pray this over Regina tonight. I don't know what I'm doing. I just obey God the best I can. And I release it. A lot of times, like I said, the words I get are just information to think about. And when we think about the information, God speaks through me, and I don't know why he does it, but when you just meditate on it and you listen and receive it, it's like, you know, you drink in something and you become what you drink as you drink this word in. And we drink your word in tonight, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for showing us just how to drink in that word, the word. It's not just about, you know, getting special directions saying go do this and don't do that and go to the store and invest in this stuff and invest in that stuff, whatever. And, you know, that's all great information when God speaks it, but it's something about just getting, you know, a picture image of something and God releasing his word. And in that word, that image, that picture is power. It's drink from heaven. It's love. It's, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe you've had somebody like that in your life, your spiritual man. I don't know. But I feel like part of you and who you are and the love of God is amazing. God carrying over you like I feel like Oral cares for me, even though I never met him. I never met him, and like I felt his care over me. When he wrote me that letter, it's like he just spoke to me like a son, just such loving kindness. I mean, it was just the sweetest thing, man. Dear God, I wanna just almost weep thinking about it. Amen. In Jesus' name, just receive that. That's beautiful, 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 beautiful words from heaven. And then I hope you can feel what I feel. Amazing. All right, 720-819. Who am I talking to, real quick?
Hi, Randy. This is Jeff and Yuki.
Jeff, your voice has changed. Are you sick or something? I'm messing with you. You know, I know I'm not Jeff. I know that's Yuki, but she did say this is Jeff. Yeah, I'm messing with them too. I don't know what it is. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Yuki. Thank you, Lord, for you, God. I thank you, Father, for showing her what's important to you, God. Like, you know, sometimes we see people and they seem important, but you know, what's really important? What makes somebody important? What makes them important is because they're smart with the school, they hang around with all the you know the famous men of God or whatever. They're all have money. What makes people really beautiful and powerful, and, you know, so, gosh, we're going to show you that how to look for the right things, and God's given you eyes. You see that in people. Like, maybe you see that in Jeff. I don't know. But, you know, it's like you have spiritual eyes. You have eyes to see what's important to God. Like, today, one thing can be important to God. Tomorrow, you wake up and you go, oh, something else is important. You know, like God's showing you what's important to him. And you thinking about it and meditating about it and dwelling on it and praying for him. It has to be like a long bunch of prayers. It could be like super like, God, that's important to you. That person's important to you today, God. It could be the most poor, miserable, worthless feeling person in the whole globe. And God says, that person is important to me right now. Yuki, I want you to just breathe a prayer over them. I want you to think about them. I want you to, you know, this is what's important to me today. And God, and I think that's really, when you think about it, that's why Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. Because what did the Father show him? He showed him what's important today. You know, what was important yesterday was healing the sick and raising some dead. Today, it's letting little kids sit in your lap. You know what I mean? What's important to the Father? And God showing you that and opening your heart for that so that you, you know, come into agreement with it. And you start feeling what God feels is important, what God says is important. And that's what Jesus did. Sometimes he would go, you know, raise the dead. He'd be walking. You know, they'd all be walking somewhere. And then a funeral came and, you know, crying. And, you know, a little child, a mother's only child, just died. So that became really important to him, that he raised that child from the dead for that mother's sake. You know, that just became his thought process. He became obsessed with, okay, you're going to raise this, stop everything, everybody, okay. It went over and raised that child from the dead. And the mother just freaked out and like, that's my only child, and died on me. And I was like, you know, it's like she was destroyed over the thing. And yet Jesus stopped the whole world, man, for that one woman, to pray for that woman, because that's what was important to God, man. Isn't that awesome? Man, I pray to God that I'm like that, that I can be like that. Dear Jesus, I want to be like that. I want to do only what's important to the Father. Day to day, if you have to spend the whole week with somebody, spend the whole week doing something, just focusing on a certain thing, if that's what's important to him, and then he changes it, and then, you know, everything's different from day to day, what's important to him, that you will be able to, you know, just find yourself, you know, doing that very thing. And that really is doing what you see the Father, because the Father, what you see the Father doing is what's important. What you see the Father doing, what he's doing that day, what is going on, is that's the only thing that pleases him, right, is when we do what's important to him. Yeah, who's important to him, what's important to him, and focus on that. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for Jeff. God, we thank you for Jeff. God, we thank you for the furthering of the gospel, this whole thing of the furthering of the gospel, like what is the gospel? You know, there's a lot of things that are being taught that God has even shown me, the things I believe that were not necessarily of the gospel, you know, certain things. I mean, I wouldn't talk about all of them, but I get caught up and take off and start preaching. But, you know, what's the gospel? What is the gospel? And what's it about? What's going on? And what's your part of it? And so God's showing you what the gospel is for you, to you. Because the gospel is different things to different people. You hear some people say, man, it's about getting everybody saved, going to missionaries. Other people say, it's about having concerts and, you know, music. And, you know, I know you guys kind of like that. It's whatever the gospel, it's like that's the gospel to you. You know, like to me, the prophetic realm is the gospel, because what we're doing is we're building people up. And we're preaching to people and prophesying to people and building people up and trying to get them blessed. That's the gospel for Randy Chandler. You know, that's what I do. That's what my purpose is to build people up and make sure they get blessed. Amen. So hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Wow, show you what the gospel is to you. A lot of people think, because, you know, you hear different people, Jeff, you know, and say, oh, the gospel is this. Some people say, you know, gospel is the healing power of Jesus, and then people get saved. People say the gospel healing is over here. It's deliverance and casting out devils. And then people get saved. So everybody has a little bit different view of the gospel because it's what they're called to do or called to be a part of. You know, sometimes it's what we see as important. Like some people see PGN as important. So, you know, so God wants to preach the gospel through PGN in many different forms. The gospel is important to me. The gospel is important to Jeff and Yuki. The gospel is important to Terrence and Tanisha and whoever else, you know, God's raising up. You know, all the people I can name, a lot of people, I wouldn't start naming people, but the gospel means, you know, to them. Hallelujah. Put that in a package and go for it. Amen. All right. All right. Okay, I've already taken 610. All right. Okay, I think that's actually it. Did I finish that? Am I finished already? That was a lot of people. Wow. Man, I'm doing good. I'm finishing early. It's just now 11, a little after 11. Cool. And when I'm done. Right? Okay, William. Okay, William, are you there? Oh, William, I didn't know. Oh, you don't have your hand up. That's what it is. Okay, William, sorry. 404. William, I guess, yes, can we talk to this, William?
Yeah. What did I miss doing?
Yeah.
You got to have my hand up.
I'm glad I got you because you didn't have your hand up. And like when you call into the show, I kind of show you how to do it. You call into the show, you know, 319-52, and it'll say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And as soon as it says that on your phone, you click 1, you know, like on your pad.
Yeah,
that's okay. Some people just don't know. Yeah, so I just figured out you didn't know. And I thank you for texting me, letting me know that you're there, because I would have fixed it to close up tonight. So thank you, William. So what state are you from, William? What state?
I'm in Georgia.
Okay. All right, William. All right, I'm going to mute you, and then I'm going to pray for you. Tonight we don't do much talking on Wednesdays. We just pray and prophesy over people. So thank you for being here, William. Thank you for texting me and letting me know. William from Georgia. All right, William, awesome. All right, thank you, Jesus, for William. God, I thank you for the spirit of compassion, Father, the spirit of compassion on William, God. I thank you, Jesus, for William and the spirit of compassion that in him and through him, God, that he can have compassion on himself. You know, sometimes I used to be so hard on myself, William, that I had very little, I had a compassion for other people, but I wouldn't have compassion on myself. I'd be like really hard on myself, like, you know, you're going to straighten up, you're going to get this right, I've been really, really hard on myself. And so I used to think that was the Holy Spirit because I'm trying to straighten myself up. And the Lord said it was condemnation. He finally revealed to me years later that it was a spirit of condemnation. I was condemning myself, thinking that the Holy Spirit was trying to straighten me out. And I'm really hard on myself. And therefore, I just didn't really flow in the Spirit much. And the reason I didn't flow in the Spirit much as much as I felt like I was supposed to be doing is because I was so hard on myself. And even after I started flowing in the Spirit, I was still hard on myself. And it tried to take me down. It tried to mess me up. So God started having me take communion every day, believe it or not. And when I did, little by little, that spirit of condemnation, which I thought was from God, trying to correct me and straighten me out and keep me online, was nothing but the devil lying to me. And that God was gracious and kind, and yeah, he wants us to do right. Yeah, he wants us to walk upright with him. But he does it in such a gentle, kind, loving way. Like when I talked about Oral Roberts earlier, a lot of people don't know Oral Roberts, don't know nothing about him, but he was a good example to me of Jesus in human flesh. And so, and he had compassion on me too. He reached out. So I see God really reaching down and out into your life with compassion, saying, you know what, I know everything about you, and I love you, I've called you, I've chosen you, you can't do it without me, and with me all things are possible. And so, William, I see God really pumping into you a new faith, a faith that God can use you more than you dreamed, more than you thought, not just talking about it, but actually doing it, that you're going to find yourself awakening to a thing of, you know, this is me and God. It's not just God using somebody else. God is using me. You know, I'm being used by God. God's Spirit is working through me in ways it never has before, and He's opening you up to that dimension of being used by God. And a lot of it has to do with getting that condemnation broken off, where I'm not always whipping myself every time I mess up something, making sure I pay for it real good. Well, Jesus already paid for it, William. He paid for our sins. He paid for when we mess up, we get forgiveness, we pray, we say, God, forgive me for that, and it's gone, man, instantly. We don't have to pay it for 3, 4, 5 days, whip ourselves. It's done. You are forgiven. It's just as if you never did it. And so God's going to show you how to walk in that at another level than you ever have in your life. And you're going to start, you know, moving forward faster. You're going to get to where God wants you to be faster. Instead of taking 3 years, it's going to take you 3 days. You know, like the children of Israel got caught up in the wilderness. 40 years later, they still didn't cross over. You know, they get caught up into this thing they couldn't get out. So, but, you know, they could have crossed over, you know, in a few weeks. Instead, it was, you know, years, and some of them, and they never really made it. The new ones had to go in. The younger 20-year-olds are the ones that went in. So God's showing you how to. Time is saved by, you know, you don't do everything perfect. You say, God, forgive me, help me do the right thing, and boom, boom, just like that, done, fixed, over, move on. Done, fixed, and it'll finish, move on, and you moving on, faster and faster and faster. And you're going to find yourself going, oh, my gosh, I've been growing so fast. What's going on? Yeah, because of that condemnation broken off. You know, it's not about sinning, you know, doing something bad wrong. It's just sometimes just about, you know, did I talk enough to that person? Should I have said this? Should I have said that? You see what I'm saying? So that slows you down because it gets you distracted and gets you thinking about the wrong thing. And, you see what I'm saying? So this is something that I've dealt with a lot. And God is really, you know, it's amazing how fast He can take you somewhere if you're not dealing with condemnation, you know, and thinking it's God. You know, that's a deceptive part. All right. Amen. God bless you. So may the healing virtue of Christ flow through you and in you and around you, my brother. In Jesus' name, may you be manifesting the healing power of Jesus. Hallelujah. The healing power of Jesus through His word, the word. Speak the word in due season. Amen. In whatever season. Whether it's these or not, speak the word. All right. Elisa says, can you please pray for Devante too? Yes. Okay, so you did call back in. Okay, I thought maybe you just didn't know you were there. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for Devante, God. We thank you, Father, for Devante. We thank you, Lord, for the spirit of drawing, that you're drawing him. You know, our kids, we train them, we teach them, you know, you need Jesus, and they do, of course. But there's something different going on when there's a drawing. When God draws them, it's like we don't even have to watch. When I got drawn to God instead of, you know, the religious thing that I went through didn't do me no good, you know, then my parents still had to watch over me all the time. Like, he's sinning, he's messed up, he didn't get saved. Nah, but when God drew me to him, you know, I no longer had issues. I no longer had problems with that. It's like I didn't have to try to live right. I wanted to live right. And they couldn't hold. Nobody could hold me back from wanting to live right. When before it was like the little thing would mess me up. Now it's like nothing could mess me up because I just was drawn to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Devante, God, that you instead of all the stuff of trying to do the right thing. Jesus, I thank you for drawing my brother by your Holy Spirit to the throne room, to the love room, to the place of there's therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that you can live right. You know, if you're trying to live right on your own, you're not really being drawn by God. It's very difficult, and I've tried that. It doesn't work very well, and I wasn't very strong or very good at it. So I had to, like, get really saved, you know, really right with God. So I thank you, Jesus, for drawing Devante, Father, to the cross of Calvary in a brand new way. Draw him to the feet of precious Jesus, that he has given his life for him so he can get up and walk free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Do it, God. Bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, 847-505.
This is Marja from Illinois.
Yes, Marja, I prayed for you earlier. I saw your number then. I prayed for, I think you were away from the phone for a second. Okay.
I thought,
that's okay. I wanted you to know that. That's why I took your, I knew I'd already prayed for you, but I think you had gone from the phone for a few minutes. So, all right, girl, thank you so much. You can go back and check it out if you want. Okay.
Sure, I will. Thank you.
No problem. You're so welcome. Yeah, I'm sorry you have to wait till tomorrow just to hear it. But, I guess I could pray for you again, but let me go here to the, 847-239. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Stephanie from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Okay. Those numbers are kind of the same, 847. Marge's is 505, and yours is, thank you, Lord, for Jessica, God. I thank you, Jesus, God, for her new shoes, God, her new feet, like you're getting new feet, new shoes on your new feet or something like that, new shoes on your new feet. And God giving you a new walk, being able to, get up and walk, not crawling, but walking, like God's giving you new feet to stand. God's giving you new feet and new shoes to stand and walk. And when you stand with God, you'll be able to stand with God. You're going to be able to stand with Him and stand up for Him and stand and walk with God, walking in line with God, walking hand in hand with Him. That personal relationship that you have with Him, that God increases that and opens that up more to where you walking with God. You feel like, it says, I listened today to the scripture. It said that Enoch walked with God and he pleased God, and therefore he was no more, because he was caught up because he pleased God. And it says that he walked with God and pleased God. And I thank you, Jesus, for Jessica's heart. I want to please you, Father. I love that about her. Thank you, Lord, that she wants to please you. It's all about pleasing you. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, that her heart, God, that you're mending her heart and you're giving her shoes to walk with you, new feet, new shoes, strengthening your feet, giving you new shoes, something like that, to walk with God like Enoch did. Yeah, isn't that cool? Like Enoch did. I love that. I just listened to that today. I think it was in Hebrew, it says, walk with God, and therefore he was no more. And boom, he was gone. Talking about a rapture. Boom, raptured up, gone. Hasta la vista, baby. He was out of there. He conquered everything. He walked, our faith is revealed through walking through hard times. And when we can walk through hard times and trust Jesus, then that's when he becomes pleased. That's when he becomes like, wow, good job. Come on up here with me. Yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for that Stephanie, Jessica's walking with you, God, in Jesus' name. All right, let's go back to Marja. Thank you, Lord, for Marja tonight, God. I think I also missed. Okay. I got Shannon there. Thank you, Lord, for Marja, God. I think you're, I'm going to pray for her again. I just feel like I want to do it, if you don't mind. Thank you, Jesus, for Marja. Thank you, Lord, that I see you with new clothing, like getting new clothing. The Bible says what you do in your closet, what you do in private, God will reveal. It's like in your prayer time, like in your prayer season, I see you getting new clothing, like God giving you powerful and high, clothing when we dress up to go, it has an appeal factor to it, like the clothing that we wear. Clothing can have an appealing factor if we dress well, if we dress right, right and well. And I see you dressing right and well and becoming appealing, like that. Like God is putting you in an appealingness on you that's brand new, where you are appealing and like something brand new sparkling inside you. Yeah, in Jesus' name, where you're appealing. You're already appealing, I know, because you're made in the image of God. But I mean, it's like this new thing. Like I see in your prayer time or your time with God, Him giving you new clothing. And you know it's like you get a new dress or a new, but me, when I get it, I used to wear suits all the time. I don't wear suits anymore, but I get a new suit, man. I felt like I was like, oh, we're going to town now, baby. You know, it makes you feel like that, you know. And like, I'm gonna preach it tonight, yeah. And you know, so that's what clothing does. It gives you this, you know, makes you feel, you know, like you're, you know, what you're dressed for, whatever occasion you're dressed for. Going to the ball, do ballroom dancing, you're going to do whatever you enjoy doing. And, you know, it's like you dress up for that, for the occasion. Like in the parable where the Jesus told, you know, talked about the guy who, the person was in the wedding feast of going on, and the party, and he didn't have the right clothes on. Well, they kicked him out, right? I said, get out of here. You don't have the right clothing. It's like, I see you having the right clothing on and being accepted among the brethren and being accepted, you know, like in the love fest, in the, you know, the marriage ceremony, because you're dressed, you know, according to the occasion. Yeah, and God giving you the occasion dress wear. In other words, the spiritual clothing to among the party, if you will, where things are going on, where things are happening. Amen. All right, so whatever that is, I'm not sure. But I also prophesied to you earlier about some other stuff, too, so I don't remember what it was. But all right, let's go here to 608-960.
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, thanks for that. Words you gave me earlier, you shared about the, what was it last? That's cool. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, you shared that word about the true Israelite. That was, Nathaniel, right? Man of integrity. Yeah, that was Nathaniel, I believe. He saw him under the tree. And he said, you're a man of integrity, you know, with no guile or something like that. Yeah, so I think you connected with that. So I think that's something for you tonight, that connection with Nathaniel. It's like God changing your name to Nathaniel, a man of integrity, in Jesus' name. And, yeah, and open up that. Yeah, so there's something you connected with that. The fact that you sent that to me is saying something. Yeah. Okay, I could use prayer for it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just take authority. We speak that spirit of integrity inside of us. Because we have walking in integrity, you know, not just human integrity, but spiritual integrity. That's a higher level of integrity. Integrity from God, like obeying God, doing what God says. Some people would never obey God, but they're integrous in their own human everyday life. People are like, oh, they're a man of integrity, but God doesn't look at them. He doesn't look at them like they're a man of integrity. He looks at those who obey him. Like Jesus was a man of integrity because he did whatever he saw the Father do, right? That's what integrity is with the Father. It's pleasing God. So it's a whole different realm of integrity, and that integrity from the Spirit of God opens up a whole other place of, you know, lightheartedness and purity. And so Lord, I thank you for the purity of my brother God that in Jesus' name that he will see himself as Nathaniel, as a man, you know, even Nathaniel knew he was like that, because he said, you know, who told you about me? You know, like he said, like he was confirming, you're right, Lord, I am a man of no guile and integrity. You know, like, wow, how did you know that about me? So he even knew he was about it. So sometimes God has to make us aware of that and let us see that about Christ in us and that man of integrity, because when you walk in God's integrity, you know, those depression, the anxiety, all that stuff, it doesn't stick to you. It can't stick to you. It may come and go, but it can't stick to you. And so when things stick to us, then God wants to reveal his integrity to you, you know, inside you, because it's already there. And God show Shannon what crew integrity is, how mentally strong and joyous and freeing that it is, because it's pure. It's no guile, and all that whole realm of guile that tries to, you know, mess us up with the guile of people who pray against us and don't like us and whatever they do. The guile. But when we're a man of no guile, then that guile can't mess with us. So what happened? How do you do that? When you become aware of in Him is no guile either. Christ Jesus is no guile. And Nathaniel is no guile. So I'm going to identify with Nathaniel and Jesus that integrity, Father, that no guile can come against me. You know, no guile can oppress me. No guile can, let's look at the word guile. I'm going to look up guile. I've never really looked it up before. I have an idea what it is. Guile is whiteness, brightness, fairness, purity. Yeah, so you just look that up yourself when you get a chance. But, yeah, so thank you, Jesus, that my brother can identify with that no guile. Amen. In Jesus' name, I promise. I'm going to look that up. Hang on a second. John 1:47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." A man of complete integrity. That's what the New Living Translation says, Shannon. Complete integrity. Wow, that's amazing. And you caught that. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. No guile. We'll look up guile again here. All right, cunning. There you go. Guile means cunning. So there is no cunning. Lie and cunning. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I got that. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Been learned. Okay. Yeah, so there's something about that. So we thank you, Lord, for cleansing and washing the pain of all that, the evil of all that, in Jesus' name, you know, the trickery, all the stuff. In the name of Jesus, I speak forgiveness and blessing over my brother and over those who have done that. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Yeah, Noel says Nathanael had never previously seen the Savior, but Jesus knows the character of Nathanael upon meeting him. He describes Nathanael as a man without guile. This word guile is defined in the dictionary as insidious, cunning. Whoa, girl, you're nailing this even more than I'm nailing this. Woo, that's like hot. Oh, my God. Oh, dear God. Insidious, cunning, or deception, simplicity. So Nathanael is without deception. Wow. That is like, okay. Duplicity. I want to look at the word duplicity. I think we're under something here. All right. Duplicity. Duplicity. Duplicity definition, I'm going to look it up. Duplicity is he was accused of duplicity. Okay. Deceitfulness, double dealing. I have to be honest with you, I did not know what that meant. That is so awesome. Wow, dude. You see what just happened? And with what Noel just brought in, I mean, that double whammied me when I read it. I'm like, and like it hit me like, yeah, like that's really a word from God, man. That's a word from God. We rebuke that stuff off of you. I rebuke it off Noel. I rebuke it off me. or if you get off anybody who needs it tonight, in the name of Jesus, that duplicity, that guile, that cunningness, that crap, in Jesus' name, I rebuke Satan. I expose you in the name of Jesus for your deceit and your lying cunningness. In Jesus' name, expose it, open it up, even in, over Noel's life, over Shannon's life, over my life, over whoever's listening tonight. In the name of Jesus, bring purity, God. No deception, no deceitfulness. Let the purity, let people not be afraid to be pure. And let the innocence that they really walk in be manifest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bound Satan in Jesus' name. You got to go now. Open up the heavens in Jesus' name over Noel, over Shannon. Amen. Over PGN in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, whoever you listen to me tonight, in the name of Jesus. Keche kapano bucheche kiche bubapa. Let it be done right now in Jesus' name. Now, that was awesome, I have to say. Thank you, Noelle. I didn't know you were out there. Awesome, man. All right, 864-313. You want to talk to me something?
I turned on the AC.
Oh, yes, I talked to you earlier. Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
William. Did I do that right? I'm sorry. Give me a second. Is that 864? Oh, no. Wait a minute. That's wrong one. Okay. All right. 864. I'm sorry. 864. Who am I talking to here, please? Where are you from? I can't hear you. Say it again, please. Can you spell your name for me? I can't already hear you. Take me off speakerphone if you could. That way I can hear you better. Okay, it doesn't really matter anyway. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for my brother tonight, God. We thank you, Father, for activating the gifts of the Holy Ghost in him, activating the gifts of God, activating the realm of the supernatural, Father, the Holy Spirit. And letting him know that with God all things are possible, meaning through him. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, that was a good Google, girl. That was a good Google. Wow. All right. 864, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the covenant of my brother. God, he makes a covenant with you. He cuts a fresh covenant with you, Jesus. Like, you know, every week, every day, actually, I do communion. Because it's about the covenant and your inheritance and God's inheritance in you and God wanting to reveal his inheritance to you, what he has for you, what nobody else can have but you. Like, when somebody dies, you know, a mother, father die, and then the child has to inherit, that inheritance is designated just for you and only for you. And nobody else can have it. Nobody, because that's your name on it. It's like God's going to show you that. He's going to show you that your name is written on the things he's called you to do and be. And so I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up. In Jesus' name, that my brother will suffer the things of God in a godly fashion and learn how to suffer God's way. You know, like sometimes we suffer and we, you know, have our own way of suffering. God's going to show you how to suffer in him. How to suffer. When you suffer with him, it means that you're suffering because of what you've done for him instead of what you've done, you know, to bring it on yourself, which we all do that sometimes. God's showing you how to suffer the thing that come upon you is allowing, because the sufferings of Christ tap you into the power of God, tap you into the gifts of God, tap you into your inheritance from heaven. And I declare and I decree in Jesus' name, I never did get your name, I couldn't understand your name, but you can also text me at 214-505-8719. You can text me. Anybody can text me from there. 864, if you don't give me your name, I couldn't understand it. But yeah, God, moving you into your inheritance in the name of Jesus, what belongs to you from the Father, that only belongs to you and nobody, and it has your name on it, and nobody can have it for you. Nobody else can have it but you. But you have to walk in and, you know, activate the covenant and take it. In Jesus' name, God's showing you how to do that through worship, through prayer, through seeking him. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Is that all our callers tonight? I think that's it. Been great. I thought it was going to end about a half an hour ago, and all of a sudden, boom. 11:40. Not even 12 o'clock yet. It's too early, but okay. I guess we'll call it a night tonight, y'all. Thank you for being with us. Let's see here. Request for Andre as well. I can record for him. You are. All right, for Andre. Go. Thank you for Andre. Okay. Shannon says, love that word. Good things have to follow with integrity. Yeah, man, and you caught that. I mean, that's amazing how that you caught that. You sent that to me for somebody else, when I was praying for somebody else, and then it became your word. See how cool that is? Isn't it God? That's God, man. You blessed, brother. You blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. I say you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Andre, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. I wish I could sing. I sing. You are blessed. You are blessed. I'm blessing you tonight, Andre, as a father in the spirit. You are a blessing, brother. I don't even know you. Never met you. But I see you. I know you. I know the darkness that's around you sometimes. It tries to mess with you. But you know what? You are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, bro. And as a father in the spirit, I bless you. I call you holy. I call you a child of God, a son of God. I call you, you know, in all your imperfections, all your things you think you're weak about and all that, I call you strong in Jesus. You are strong. Jesus really identifies with you, man. He identifies with you. He identifies with you. And he's going to show you that you identify with him. He's going to show you how to identify with Jesus, how to identify with him, his humanness, his ability to, you know, he had to learn, he learned obedience through the things he suffered, according to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Christ learned obedience through the things he suffered. So he had to learn obedience. And God's showing you the humanity of Christ, the humanness of Jesus, that he's a real human being. He's seated right in the Father. I'm praying that he'll come and visit you. Somehow, some way, that he will visit you and show you that there are true men of God. There are true women of God. There are true people who love God. And nobody's perfect, but, you know, so, Andre, I just thank you as a father. I bless you. I thank you for being born. I thank God for you're born again. You know Jesus. I thank you for being who you are. I thank you for being God's child, God's son, God's friend. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. You are a blessing, brother. You are a blessing, and I bless you in the name of Christ. The name above all names. And God's going to give you a name. He's going to hide away the name that has shame to the name that has fame. Woo! That was a good one. I love that stuff. You hear that? Going to hide the name with the shame and give you a name for the new game. Also, the new game. Yeah, the new game. Hallelujah. Wow. New name. New name for my brother in Jesus' name. Andre. Hallelujah. I love it, man. That is so amazing. Andre, you're a blessing, bro. You are. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, Andre. Keeps me singing as I go. Can't keep going. Amen. May you sing the songs of Zion. Sing the song of the Lord. Amen. All right, y'all. I mean, you know, I'm available here. I'm a servant. I love to serve. I enjoy it. I enjoy serving. Not a big pain to me. It's not like, you know, it's why I'm here. I want to be here. All right. We love praying for people, blessing people. All right. Well, I think that's it for the night. Officially, I think that's really it. Awesome. Tomorrow's Thursday. Be praying that will get the communion and give it to the Lord, then cool. All right, y'all. I think that's it for me, man. I'm like, you know, when I'm done, like, whoa, yeah, Jesus. Thank you. Give you glory. Give you honor. Give you praise. Dear Jesus, you are glorious. All right, if you don't have your hand up, you miss out, right? So, you know, 864, you just put your hand up. Okay, 864-313, you there again? Hello?
Yep, I'm here.
And who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, this is Walter from South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right, my brother, good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Walter, God. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Meshe koshi pacheri maroha. Peke magoku pupu pupare. Ali, 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 ali. Ali, ali. Ali, ali. No, 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 fali. Ali, ali. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah, I think I just prayed for you, though. Are you right? That was you, 864. And I think you, we'll just pray again here. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing power of Christ. I think I just prayed for you. But Lord, I thank you for the healing power of Christ, for the redeeming, the buying back, like God showing you how to buy back. You know, he's already bought it, you know, through his cross, of course. But how to redeem it, how to redeem something. I see the silver ring, the silver line, you know, the cloud with the silver linings or whatever you call that. And the redemption. So buying back, you know, buying back what belongs to you. You know, in other words, you know, you, how do we buy? Come buy. He says, come buy me gold tried in the fire. And I thank you, Jesus, for the fire that my brother's been going through, God, the fire that he's buying back, if you will. Come and buy gold, you know, that's the front of gold and silver. Gold tried in the fire. That it, God, no matter what fire my brother goes through, God, that he can, as he goes through that fire, purchasing the presence of God, the glory of God, not with money, but with faith, by, you know, suffering with Christ, by entering into the Spirit of God and redeeming, and with the redemptive work of Christ, redeeming back what belongs to you. Because though Christ, if Christ had never paid the redeeming price, we wouldn't be able to redeem, right? But we apply that redemption. It's like we apply healing, we apply, you know, prophetic word, we apply that to God's work, into to a situation where something, the devil's taking something, stole something. We apply the redeeming work of Christ. You know, we're not buying it. He's already bought it. But we come and we buy it by faith, without money. So in Jesus' name, show my brother how to purchase the purchasing realm of Christ Jesus and that place of redeeming, buying back the things that the devil has stolen and robbed. And my brother, and my precious brother, in Jesus' name, and bless him, God, and crown him, God, with your glory. Crown him with your blessings, God. Crown him with his inheritance in you, Jesus, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brother, good to hear from you. All right, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. I know it's too early, but that's still my caller. I think I'm getting faster at this, man. I'm not sure. And I don't get in a hurry, really. It's just kind of enjoy being here. But all right. Good night. Good night, everybody. Going away. We'll be back tomorrow. It's another day. All right, another day. All right, good night, everybody. We love you.